Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I wouldn't mind touching on this for a moment. There's a news story that Kathy was reporting on earlier down by Boathouse Row. Somebody went and tied a rope to a statue and drug it into the river. A statue of Thorfinn Karlsefni.
Do we know the history on Thorfinn Karlsefni?
He was a Viking.
I do.
What is this story?
Well, the only reason I know is that I went to Iceland in the spring, and he's a national hero there.
Okay.
And then there were the explorers from Norway and Iceland who made their way, like... Erickson is
Leif Erickson.
Most famous. Yeah.
And Inga Dinga.
Yeah. And he was the most famous, but, and Gus Erickson, of course. Yeah. But they, so these Icelandic explorers came to the States well before Christopher Columbus.
Sure, yes.
This guy was one of those national heroes and an explorer.
I think I was wrong with Inga Dinga Dinga. It's from SpongeBob.
Okay.
They have Leif Erickson Day. My kids would know. Carter, call me. Parker, call me. Let me know. But it's, there's a little greeting that you
Inga Dinga Dinga.
It's something like that.
So, anyway, this a large statue, which we have to assume is, has some weight to it.
Yeah.
Pulled off the stand and into the river.
And I don't know why. But I was curious, do you ever stop and take a look at a statue?
All the time.
And yeah. See who that person was?
Yes.
Nope. Yeah. I do from time to time because I'll go, okay.
Who's that?
Somebody thought this person was worthy enough to create a statue and put it here and have it try, you know, stay forever.
Who's this idiot?
If you will. Because we, Rochelle and I, when we had our summer vacation, we went and stayed, did a night in the city, and we stayed at the Logan, and there's a statue right in front of the hotel. It's huge. And I'm like, okay, let me go see who this guy is, because I could see it from our window, and I was like, okay, when we go out, I'm going to go take a look at the guys. He was some Polish patriot. Of sort, or I don't know who he was.
And it's right on the parkway?
Yeah.
Okay.
If it's in front of the Logan, it should be Wolverine, shouldn't it?
Wouldn't you think right? The Logan?
Yeah.
I mean, it writes itself.
Right there, yeah.
But I took a moment to say, okay, who was this individual? And then, of course, I just went about my business and forgot about it the rest of the day, and I don't even remember who it was.
Do you read the historical plaques around the city and all that stuff?
Occasionally I do.
So when I was, I walked through... You know, my area now, Mount Airy and Chestnut Hill and Germantown, and there are all sorts of those all over the place. I mean, Germantown is considered the most historical street in the country. So, I was walking by this place yesterday, and I'm looking there. There are divots, you know, in the wall, and I look down. There's a plaque that says, what you're seeing are the bullet holes from the Revolutionary War.
Wow.
It's just right there.
That's
right.
Cool.
Right out. I mean, but, I mean, you pass it, you know, I would never have known it had I not... have stopped and read that plaque.
Hey, you
thank
know
you, plaque.
I don't stop to read plaques or statues or anything like that, and it's just for one simple reason. I won't remember.
Yes.
I won't remember any of it anyway, so why even waste my time?
You didn't know what they do over there in London.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's interesting in the interim. Like, even if it doesn't stick in your brain forever, I find those facts... interesting enough to pass the time, and I'm like, oh, all right. So I didn't even know there were Icelandic explorers here. So if I don't remember it long term, then I might enjoy it in the moment.
By the way, people are texting in. It's Inga Dinga Durgan.
Inga Dinga Durgan.
Inga Dinga Durgan. But Casey, the one of the questions we had in Bucksco versus Delco was about one of the towns named after was it Lincoln's girlfriend or something like that?
Well, that's my town. Yeah, well, Rutledge.
Rutledge was named after what? Because I saw that plaque one day. It's on a post.
Early childhood sweetheart, Anne Rutledge, which is probably actually it's misinformation, but it's anyway.
It's enough to put on a plaque.
Yeah, it's a plaque.
Because it's literally on one of those where you if you're sitting at a light. There's a plaque that's up on a pole that you can sit there and read while you're still in the car.
You know, it's kind of cool. And I finally got to see it, you know. If you go along the Wissahickon Trail down by Old Bells Mill Road, you know, and you go in, there is a point along the trail where there's a plaque that points to, it says there is a statue of an Indian, a Lenape Indian, up on the cliffside looking west, where the Indians eventually, you know, moved out of the area and moved west.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool. I mean, it's, I don't know. I'm there, and people are walking. I see it! You know, it's just exciting.
There's one at, if you take Market all the way down to Front Street, and it's right before you head towards Penn's Landing, there's an Indian standing, I think, on a turtle or something like that.
Yeah.
That is significant as well. And I used to
There's know. A legend. There's a legend associated with that, a classic legend associated with
it's
it.
It's a statue?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's right there. It's
the turtles brought Indians to the
they rode
area. They rode mighty
herds of
herds of turtle herds. Now, mind you, it was a slow migration.
Yeah, it was.
And then finally,
yeah,
I'm liking the horses.
Right.
I gotta tell you, right?
But I tell you what, up and down, up and down Kelly Drive, there are just loads of statues. What I've wanted to do, actually, was...
Is pull them into the river.
No. I wanted to do...
One down.
I wanted to do a Da Vinci Code type of thing.
Oh, really?
Using the statues as clues, but it would take a lot of work. Well, and I'd really have to take several weeks to go down there and go to each one and figure out and have clues lead from one to the other. I would like to do that sometime.
There's a guy named Snorri along there.
Snorri?
Yeah, he's either Icelandic or Norwegian, and the only reason I remembered is because his name is Snorri, but there's a statue of him, and I think it's near this one that was dragged into the river over overnight.
There's one that we were actually checking out at the beginning of the play up to the Super Bowl with the dog thing, the underdogs.
Yeah.
Remember we were going to go to that statue that's off of Lincoln Drive? There's a guy with a dog next to him.
Oh, really?
Mind you, I'd been driving Lincoln Drive for quite a while. I'd never seen this thing until someone mentioned it, and it's there.
And we were going to do some kind of game around There's a statue of Dad Vale along there as well. He's the guy on the skull.
Is it Jim
rowing.
Kelly or Grace Kelly's dad?
Oh, I don't know.
They're named for Kelly Drive. So Grace Kelly, Princess of Monaco. Her father was somebody right. Kelly. John?
Chip Kelly.
But not Chip Kelly.
Wait, there's a statue of him?
I'm asking you if that the guy rowing is that.
No, that's Dad Vale.
Oh, okay.
That's the guy.
I didn't know there was a person named Dad Vale.
Do you know that huge statue? It's like the Colossus of Rhodes standing across the river. That's Kelly Ripa.
That's Kelly Ripa?
I did not know that. I didn't know that.
Hang on a second. Zach is on the line. Hi, Zach. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Sorry to bother you guys at work.
It's okay. All right, man. What's up, buddy?
Hey, so I can actually answer two of your questions now. The first question you had was, who was that Polish patriot out in front of the hotel?
Yes.
That's Thaddeus Kosciuszko. He was the chief of engineers for George Washington, the American Revolution.
Wow.
And he ended up going back to Poland to help try to liberate the country.
Oh.
But then he came back in disgrace after failing the rebellion. And then the other statue you were just asking about was actually, it is Grace Kelly's father, I believe.
So it's not Dad Vale. Okay.
Nick was right.
So I don't know who Dad Vale is, but that's definitely Grace Kelly's
dad. Well, Dad Vale was actually, he is the individual after which the Dad Vale Regatta is named. Right? Right. And so is there any sort of statue that memorializes him?
I don't know.
Or is it just Snorri?
No, not my knowledge.
Wow, you have a fair amount of knowledge of these statues. Is that kind of a hobby of yours?
Not really. I just was a history teacher.
Well, let me ask you something. Do they sometimes upset you to the point where you might yank one into the river?
Not statue. In fact, that's one of my favorite statues down there.
I tried to interrogate him to see if he was responsible.
See if it was him.
Pretty cool looking. Because he's got this big shield across his back.
It looks cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if they'll be able to get him out of the river.
I don't know. Yeah, I wonder what the... Yeah, I don't know how far deep into the river it went. So.
And how heavy he is.
All right, thanks, Zach. I appreciate it. No, there's a lot of cool statues. There was a myth about statues, and it turns out that it's not true from what I understand.
That they're alive at night.
No, well, we know from the movie...
United Museum.
No, is that when you see a person on horseback... That there was, and I've been told this has now been debunked, that if, depending on the horse's stance, it meant something, whether they were killed in battle, whether they were, died, that were not due to injuries and so forth. It had to do with whether they were rearing up or if they had one hoof off the ground.
And this has been disproven?
Yeah.
But that's actually a cool...
Yeah.
What does it mean if you are just standing straight up on the turtle or hanging 10? Does that
with your toes?
Yeah.
Okay.
What does that mean? You know, it's a really wonderful statue is the of the Irish immigrants.
Yes.
Yeah. That it's a really beautifully done. It's off
in
of
New York.
It's off of
the island.
No. It's right in
Philadelphia?
Old City. Yeah, right, okay. Right in Philadelphia.
That one I don't know.
You never saw that one?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Nope.
Okay.
See, you pass by it all the time.
Dad Vale is a person. It's not Grace Kelly's dad.
Who is it?
I'm sorry?
Dad Vale. It is a person.
Oh, I know.
Oh, okay.
No, but that statue
but the statue is Grace Kelly's dad.
Oh, got you.
It occurs to me we should probably go look at more of these statues.
Okay, so the regatta is named after Harry Emerson Dad Vale for his years of coaching at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. So
and who's Chip Kelly?
I thought that statue... I thought the statue was of him.
Got it. The statue is of...
Grace Kelly's dad.
Got it.
Everybody clear?
All right. And correct me if I'm wrong now. There is a statue of Irish immigrants right down by Delaware Avenue, correct?
Where?
I don't know.
Down by the Regal.
We don't know.
Cinema.
But maybe somebody does.
Just a block and a half away.
Hmm.
I know there's a really...
There's got to be.
All right. Hang on a second. Let me go to...
I'm losing it.
Let me go to Bill. Oh, I just hung up on Bill.
Bill,
I have Ann. Hi, Ann. How you doing?
Hi. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Well, John Kelly was actually Grace Kelly's brother.
Yes and no. The one we're referring to is John Kelly Sr., and so she had a brother named John Kelly as well. Her father is John Kelly.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought, okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Sorry.
All right. So in this statue of John Kelly we're looking at, I assume, here?
Yes.
What exactly is he riding there? Because it looks like a Pringle.
I think that's supposed to be the water.
The water,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And right. It's just a section of the boat that he's in.
Or was he able to row so fast that he did not need an actual skull?
Maybe he didn't. I don't really know.
That's why they made a statue of him.
That mother effer does not even need a canoe.
So there's a statue, Steve. It's a memorial. It's called the Irish Memorial.
And all right.
It's in the part of town that you're talking about.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a lovely statue.
Well, anyhow, it might do you some good to stop and actually look at a statue and maybe read whatever plaque might be there.
That's how we know so much.
Who they can.
That's why we have all the accurate info.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, glad I don't waste my time.
It's almost an embarrassment that we live in this city and that we don't. You know, I think you're right, though, Preston. Stop and check it out, at least
just
to some
to see
degree.
Why groups of people decided that it would be a good idea to memorialize this person in that form.
Also, don't hesitate now and then to throw a rope around on it and attach to your boat hitch.
That why is intriguing to me as well. What the hell is the point of dragging a statue into the river?
But, you know, when I heard the news report it this morning, they reported it as if, like, here we go again. Now, there was only one other incident, but... Yeah.
There's a lot of statues being pulled down for various reasons, whether you had to down south with the Confederate statues and things of that nature. And if they believe, well, you know, there's a it's kind of the thing. But this thing seemed like, what's that about?
Yeah.
Hey, what did Rizzo do that was so great that he gets a statue?
He was just a really popular mayor. I mean, like he was larger than life in a bunch of different ways in stature.
Yeah.
And so because of his tactics, he was well known. He left his mark. Good and bad, and deserved a statue as a result.
Yeah.
You're a real crumb bum.
and he gave us that.
If that, honestly, I would give him a statue just for that.
Crumb bum?
I'll take you out back, Bouchies.
Yeah.
My arms tied behind my back.
Yeah.
I'll pound you into the pavement, I will.
That whole audio, you look like a lush to me. He's telling the reporter. Yeah.
Would you care to talk to a CBS? You look like a lush. I'll pound you into the pavement.
You want to relive that?
Yes, I do.
All right, Casey's finding the audio of Frank Rizzo when he was confronted. He wasn't happy about it. He was out walking his dog, and
maybe the Viking was the Nordic Frank Rizzo.
They were confronting him about.
He's like a lush to me. What's your story? I hit you with my shield. I'll take you out back and hit you with my shield.
Yeah. What are you?
You're a crumb bum.
You can't find a case?
I don't know. Yeah, let's
here
try
you
this
go, crumb bum.
Yeah.
Crumb bum, see Frank Rizzo.
It says Rizzo.
See crumb bum.
This says call Stan Bowman. Here
that's
we go.
Yeah, that's it.
There is a Stan Bowman from Channel 3 News. Could we...
how are you?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Good.
Could we talk with you for just a moment?
No, I'm busy.
You couldn't answer any of our questions?
I wouldn't talk to you under any condition.
Why is that, sir?
Forget it. Scram. Get out of here.
Sir,
scram. Hit the road.
Get
away from me. I'm now a private citizen.
Yes,
you
sir.
Get away from me.
We're allowed to be on the streets, sir.
I don't want to talk to you. Get away from me.
How do you feel about the security guards being taken off of you?
Get away from me or I'm going to throw you out in the middle of the street.
Sir.
going to throw you right out there.
One more question.
I'm telling you, get away from me.
You were the symbol of law and order in Philadelphia, sir. For many years, people looked up to you and respected you.
Look, creep, get out of here.
How could you justify your actions at our cameras last Monday in front of your house?
You're a creep.
We're a member of the media. We'd like to have an answer to our question.
You're a creep.
Why did you attack our cameras?
Get it all. Don't miss any of it. You're a creep. Get away from me.
Would you answer the question?
Dude, he had great pipes.
He really did. Listen to his voice. Get away from me. He could do movie trailers.
This weekend at the Community Cinema Pux.
But you're a creep. Get away from me.
Would you answer the question?
You know, you hide behind that press card.
I'm not hiding behind anything, sir. I just want to get some answers.
Dude, there's a gang of yous here. There's enough of you here. By myself, I'll take you physically.
I'm not asking you to take me physically.
Well, get away from me.
Well, sir, I'm on the public street. I should be authorized to be here.
I'll break it off.
Physically and mentally.
Yeah.
I'll get inside your brain.
This is after he was mayor. You know? You think he'd be happy in retirement.
He didn't care.
Big dude, though. Yeah. You see him next to the reporter. He's a big dude.
Yep. Hey, get away from me.
I think the statue. The statue's right? 1-to-1 scale.
Yeah.
I'll break it over your head.
I'll break it over your head. Hang on. Let's go back.
I'll break it over your head. Get away from me, you crumb. That's a challenge, except I'll put my dog away, and I'll come back. And you got 1, 2, 3, and I'll do
one,
it
two,
alone.
1, 2, 3, follow me.
Yeah.
Let me just put Fifi back in the house. Come on, Fifi, heal.
It is kind of a little dog, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three.
No?
No.
I can't see the dog. Oh, no, I was wrong. I was incorrect. I thought he had a little poodle with
him. Daddy loves you.
Yeah.
Daddy loves you. Give me love monster kisses.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to come back and kill you all. Beat you to death with a tire iron and then dance in your blood. Who wants you to do? Who wants you to do? Who put you in the house now? All right, don't be scared. Daddy has to go kill the bad men. I'm coming to kill you now. Come here. Did you lose your chew toy? Did you lose your chew toy? It's under the sofa.
Yeah.
Wait right here. Daddy needs to go kill the reporters. Yes, I know.
Talking.
Yeah. Get up in the living room window. You want to see Daddy kill the bad men?
Yeah, that's right. Set him up where he's got a nice view of the street.
I'm doing this for you.
Yeah.
Three, and I'll do it along with you. In that back of that fence, just the three of us, four of us, me and you.
Four or five? I tell you what, call some of the family members. Bring them out here, too.
Show you what kind of a man you are. You're less than a man.
You're a less man. Yeah.
Okay, you're a crumb creep.
A crumb creep?
You're a moon creep pie creep crumb. You're creep brulee. That's what you are.
Creep brulee.
Brulee.
Yeah.
As if someone's taken one of them little torches and fried the top of your head into like a caramelized sugary thing. You are creep brulee. You know what you like? You like one of them fancy desserts with a thin shell on top, but underneath you just pudding. Just pansy pudding, creep crumb, pansy crumb, creep creme crumb, brulee creep creme. With sugar on top.
Come here, puppy.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't take that off of nobody. And there's three of you and I'm by myself. And when it's over, there'll be nothing to it. Win or lose, okay? But you don't have the courage. You're a real crumb bum.
There's the clip.
Put that on camera. You're a crumb bum, the three of you. And I challenge you. You're a coward.
At this point, they've just shut up.
They just let them know.
Because they are like, we are getting gold right now. Uh-huh. Just let this roll.
Put that on camera. You're a crumb bum, the three of yous, and I challenge you.
He wouldn't talk earlier. I'm not talking to you, right? I'm not talking to you. Stan Bowman hasn't said anything for like 5 minutes.
Yeah. He actually fell asleep. What are you, Stan? Are you asleep?
Wake up.
I'm sorry, I had a long night. Where did your dog go? I put him inside, didn't you see? There he is, and they're looking in the window there.
He found
his little duck. He likes that little duck. He chews that little duck. Now I'm going to kill you.
You're a yellow sneak. Oh. And if you want to... Now, what I say, Let's forget all the rules of this great country we live in. I will go back to that wall with the three of you.
See that wall over there? That retaining wall over there.
Yeah.
That to the left of the house. No, that's a fence. That's not a wall. Don't you know what a wall is? That's a picket fence. It's perpendicular. Oh, let me show you.
We had it built 3 years ago.
Yeah. Right. Actually, did a good job.
What, next to the trash cans?
Where is this, by the way, when this, because this, I'm trying to figure out where this was.
What neighborhood?
Yeah.
That's a good question. It's a nice neighborhood.
Crumb Creek.
Crumb Creek.
It's not Crumb Creek. Crumb Creek.
Oh, boy. All right.
Let's forget all the rules of this great country we live in. I will go back to that wall.
Let's forget all the rules of this great country we live in.
And of humanity in general.
Yeah.
All right. Let's forget all the rules of this great country we live in. I will go back to that wall with the three of you. Just me.
There is a
You're a
here.
Crumb creep coward. You can't take, you won't stand up to him.
I'm standing up. We're not here to fight. We're here to get some answers to some questions. That's all.
I want to fight you.
Why is that?
Because you're a crumb creep lush coward.
You don't.
Why crumb creep?
He keeps adding on.
Lush coward.
It started with one, then two.
Now you're a Methodist.
Now he's up to four.
Yeah. What?
He's up to four.
I don't know. I'm running out of desserts and various disgusting things.
Keeping a list? Do you know? Like, okay, you're a crumb, you're a creep.
Wait a second here.
You're yellow.
I keep a list for things like this. You are a jackass crumb, creme creep, cram crumb. Oh, that's the wrong list. That's the potential dog names.
Thinking about getting another one, huh?
It was in there.
Hey, wait, hold a second. Honey, where's my reported bad name list? It's in the closet. I looked in there. I was looking for the dog's chew toy. I'll get back to you. What's your number? Give me your number.
By the way, Murphy.
I remembered it.
By the way,
Murphy. He gets a call late at night.
No, he calls him back later on.
Better call this guy up.
Yeah. You're a yellow crumb snake.
Have a lovely
evening. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Have a lovely evening.
For that creep.
Oh, you creme crumb creep cram. You're an apple crumb creep cake. A la moron. Yeah, that wasn't that good.
Scratch that one off.
That's not good.
Yeah, that's.
I think when I try to do French desserts, it doesn't work out. I'll stick with the German stuff.
Oh, my God.
I'm glad we revisited this.
Oh, my God. I'm getting tears on my glasses here. This was in Chestnut Hill, Steve.
Oh, it was?
Yes.
I said that 5 minutes ago.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I'm sorry. It's all right.
I was laughing too hard.
I know.
So, Nick, it's not Gene Kelly? Also,
it was Chip Kelly.
Gene Wilder.
It's at 8919 Creffold Street, Chestnut Hill.
Next to Crumb Creek.
That was his home.
Yeah.
All right. We only have like 20 seconds left of this. Let's do this. We got to get to the birthday bucks
here
in a second. All right. Anyway.
Why is that?
Because you're a crumb creep lush coward.
You don't even know.
Crumb creep lush coward. All right. Four. Here we go.
Hey, Mayor.
You are a lush. I can tell by looking at you.
Oh, God.
I was a cop all my life, and I know a lush when I see one, and you're a lush. You're going to have a hell of a story on that one. Play every word of it, crumb.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Yeah, are you hungry? You want to have some lunch? Charlie Cod Cafe is just up the road.
Yeah.
it's one of those things. I never get tired of stuff like that. And when they come across, like, you know, there's a collection. They're less monumental now because there's so many of them that are caught because of just the nature that everyone's being recorded all the time.
Yeah.
So that, you know, they're, whether it be on a cell phone or people are just caught, you know, whatever.
Yep.
So that the impact of something that was on broadcast television.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. What was he even trying to get out of him? Why was he there questioning?
Somebody told me one time it had to do with.
He was using the accusation was he was using. A taxpayer money for a driver or something
I think it was a run-in with another media member that's what this guy was talking about
This original conflagration, so to speak, was based on a little altercation he'd had with CBS reporters a while ago.
Okay.
But that was part of the same investigation.
Well, it was nice to revisit. And there's a statue. And that's how we got started on this.
And yet we still have no reason as to why the other statue was yanked into the river.
Not yet, yes. Yeah. And by the way, who wrote this? Did you write this or Marissa?
Marissa.
Marissa did. She wrote, I want to start a campaign to get a blue historic plaque as MMR's original location at Rittenhouse Square.
That's a great idea.
That could be pretty cool. With 50 years under our belt, that certainly seems viable. I still want to see a mural.
Of Gary Lauer.
No.
Yeah.
Dude.
Those wheels are in motion. not the Gary Lauer one. John Lederer.
Yes, our muralist.
Yeah.
I'd love to see a mural of MMR, specifically Pierre. I think he's earned it.
Yeah, John was speaking with Bill and Chuck D'Amico and was going to see if we can make an MMR mural at some point. Because John's done several in the city, including one with Casey.
Would we have Gary Lauer in that mural?
No, we would not.
Absolutely.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Anyhow, listen, we got to take a quick break. Back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us, all right?
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Do you want the most important purchase of your life to be based on your negotiating skills? Not the case at Steven Singer Jewelers. You are guaranteed to get the perfect price every day. They make the experience of buying an engagement ring easy with no BS. Check him out at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, you know that I go to Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spas. Whether you want a rejuvenating massage or a refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massage or facial start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Our latest Daily Rush video is up, and the title is Boob Sweat.
Yes, it's a chronic issue.
Kathy weighs in on sweaty boobies.
Yeah.
And I saw, and maybe you did, on social media over the weekend, the New York Daily News actually posted this. It is a product called the Tata Towel. And it's this thing that hangs over the women's shoulder, and it's a towel that cups your breasts. Have you guys seen this? I have a picture of it here.
It's the dumbest. And I watched the video. If women don't like bras, they're going to effing hate this.
Is it to be worn under your clothes?
Well, that's what I don't know. I don't think it's for under your clothes.
No,
well,
why would
you wear
up?
This? I think it's after you, maybe around the house.
If you're held as a sex slave on Jupiter, perhaps.
Or I was curious if you wear it as a as clothing.
To church?
Yeah. So it's this thing that hangs around.
Sweaty boobies today, Miss Jones?
It's as if you were just hanging a towel around your neck.
Right. Yeah.
But the, you know, like a fitted sheet?
Yeah.
It fits around your
boobs. It's under the boob.
Like a duvet.
And yeah. Pulls them up.
It's got the elastic sheet. Around it. Yeah. I don't know how they, you know, there's got to be something that goes around the neck that makes it tighter so it can fit everybody.
And they show in the video, they show the woman reaching back and tying it.
Adjusting
okay.
It.
See, all right. I'm pretty sure. No, I'm positive that I already know the answer to this question. But
women have boobies.
No, Kathy, will you wear this for us?
Well,
like after a workout. And
Will you try it on in the studio?
Oh, dude, I didn't even consider that because
it's so laughable.
She wouldn't even wear like a bikini top right. When we're going to do a swim thing.
Would
or something,
you wear it first, Casey?
Yes, I will. You know I will.
I wouldn't. I would never use it. It's like just another added thing. You know what right. I mean? Like, there's no time. There's no time for boob towels.
There's no time for boob towels. Yep. When would you? Again, there's no application. There's no time of the day. When mom wants to just kick back?
got that off.
But I was thinking of like a post-workout thing, you know, you might take a shirt off and then throw a towel around. I don't know.
Just towel your knockers off.
But it pulls the bottom side
up a little
and
bit.
Lets them hang. And lets
some
them
air out.
Not touch skin on skin. If you have large boobs, the bottom part is going to hang on
all
your
right.
torso. That's what it's about. That's what it's for.
I think you could achieve the same thing with wedges of cheese.
You could do that. Yeah. You could probably do that. And hang on a second. Actually, I have somebody who has ordered one. They're a little pricey, I think, too. So let me go to Stacy. Hi, Stacy. How you doing?
Hey, how How are you guys? You rock.
No, thank you so much. So you ordered a Tata towel.
Yeah.
And what situation will you be using this product?
After my shower, because I have breasts that are not, you know, the size of tiny kiwis, and it sucks to have that moisture under there.
Okay. And just a quick towel off doesn't quite do it. You want to let them kind of dry off for a minute or two. Okay.
Couldn't you get like an air gun or like a pneumatic drill?
You know, the problem with that is that they're so costly.
They are.
All right.
Well, how much moisture is under there? I mean,
Well, first of all, Stacey, what cup size? What size bra do you wear?
D.
A D. Okay. And yeah.
They're not ridiculously large,
right.
But at the same time,
they're damp.
I can't even walk outside without getting swamp ass. I'm going to want something for my boots.
Okay. All right. I understand that. Well, so you have D size, D cup. Okay. So let me ask your opinion on this, Stacey, because there's another story that I have here that's a Playboy model. Her name is Lindsay Pelaez.
Yes.
She has natural 30 double H boobs. And she says they're more of a curse than a blessing. And she says she has back pain and it's hard to smile.
Oh, my God.
It's hard to smile when she takes these Instagram pictures and all that stuff. So I was just curious. But with that, so large breasts can be a blessing and a curse at the same time.
Yeah.
So Stacey and anyone with large boobs, if you want to chime in, what would be pros and cons of being well endowed, of having big old sweaty knockers?
Having big old
sweaty knockers.
Yeah.
Okay, in my opinion,
yeah.
It's a blessing for everyone who wants to see them and touch them, but not everyone who has them.
All right. So it benefits the user as opposed to the owner.
Exactly.
All right.
And do you ever use them to get free things and
yes.
whatnot?
No, I'm not that kind of person. I'm classy.
Okay.
Okay.
See, okay. I wouldn't be classy. I would use them like crazy.
Yeah, you can use them to get free things. Can like, you use boobs to get free things?
Absolutely.
Right?
Probably.
Yeah.
You can.
Right. But you did say all the time, so how do you use them?
What do you mean? Well, that's private. Come on.
All right.
Thank you, Stacey. I appreciate it.
She says, well, Sophia Vergara, for example, if we're going down this path, I was reading a story that she says, you know, and she's married to that Joe Manganiello.
Right.
So, who is a super fitness freak. The dude's cut up like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
She says it is impossible for her to do push-ups.
Oh, really?
Because
she physically can't
go down. She physically cannot do push-ups.
I believe that.
Yeah. And so, and it's clearly hurt her career.
You know what it would be like, Steve? You know how they use chains in the workout?
Yes. Yeah.
So as they come up off the floor, you're lifting more weight.
Oh.
So that'd be the same thing with the boobs. As they rest down, it's a little lessened. But as you come up and then they actually get physically off the ground, there's more weight. So you could, you know what I mean?
You just came up with a great idea for the gym. Replace those unsightly chains with fake boobs.
Yeah, that's a pretty good idea.
Wouldn't that be great? For guys, just put them around your neck.
So I would think that I'm sure I've given free things for boobs before over the years.
Have you? Okay.
Because we always have promotional items and stuff like that.
Well, these are three or four major boob stories in the news. And we're going to rip the lid off this, damn it.
Yeah. In the news.
This just in.
Yes.
It turns out huge knockers get you free stuff. We now go to Jim Lukaszewski of the Pentagon.
Yes, that's right, Tom. I just saw a busty woman gain access without showing any ID whatsoever.
I thought so.
Dude, I'm sure you could get in places for free and...
It'd have to be that kind of girl, Preston.
I guess so.
I mean, do you use your huge junk to gain access to place?
I do.
Do you? We have to take a look at my huge penis right this way, sir. Get this man the best table in the house. He has inordinately large junk.
Well, let me go to Teresa, who probably has large boobs, too, because most Teresas do. Hi, Teresa. Good morning.
Is that a fact?
Really? I don't know.
Good morning.
Just felt like saying, hey, Teresa, do you have large breasts?
I do.
What size are you?
36J.
J! Oh, no!
All natural.
All right, and you win, apparently. What about this? First of all, what about this Tata towel?
Well, when I get home, the first thing I'm going to do is rip my bra off. But because they're so big, I don't want that to be on my skin.
They're so big, you what?
I don't like that skin on skin feeling.
Right.
So I normally wear an oversized t-shirt and kind of fold that under.
Ah.
So this would eliminate that. I could just wear this under a t-shirt and not have to worry about constantly tucking something in there.
So I guess this is a thing. It just, it looks like one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. It looks like...
I thought so too, but the more I thought about it, the more I figured just, why not?
All right, so you're going to get one?
I am.
All right, nice. And
they only go up to H, though. They only go up to H, so I might have to...
You got
to
squeeze into that.
That sucks.
Hey, what is... So pros and cons of boobs that big?
Cons is I wear t-shirts and look like a porn star.
Okay. All right.
And then pros likewise. The pros are for everyone else that gets to look at them.
That's the same thing.
Same thing the other woman said.
The last caller said.
That on a personal level, like this Lindsay Pilos, who, I don't know if you follow her on Instagram. Some people do, I guess.
Well, why? Me. Why do I even do that?
Yeah, the girl locally, Nick Abigail
Ratchford.
Yeah. I sent you an article from the New York Post. She's putting that, she's making money off her inordinately large boobs.
Teresa, do you like the extra attention that your big boobs get you?
No.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I could see that.
I used to, but not anymore. Now, I mean, I work in an office, and I feel like I always have to have a jacket or a cover-up or something. And
Would you ever go the other way and go and just wear your ta-ta towel to work?
I might now.
All right.
So, comfy.
Teresa, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
35.
All right, so, but when you were 22, something like that? They're much more fun, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was F cup when I was 22, and I would go to clubs. I actually had a t-shirt that just said, "They're real."
Really?
Got me more free drinks than anything I've ever had.
See?
There you go.
Well, that's what I was thinking when you said free drinks.
I wonder if you can get reduced mortgage rates.
That would be amazing.
You know?
Yeah.
Like the Lending Tree.
I will bet you can. Yeah.
Well, let me see what I can do. You know what? We'll throw in the undercoating.
Thanks, Teresa.
So there's an obvious thing like the free drinks and stuff like that. What would you think? Again, call in if you've gotten something more, you've gotten more of an accommodation than just free drinks because of your buxomness. I think that would be like a holy grail. In fact, did you get the holy grail because of your...
The other classic is
Cup of Christ. Did you get the Cup of Christ because you have huge cans?
The other classic / easy one is getting out of tickets, you know, getting out of a speeding ticket or whatever, and it's just unbuttoning the blouse.
Mm-hmm.
I do that all the time and nothing.
never
damn
works.
Thing.
Mm. Let me go to...
Ooh, this button popped.
Let me go to Denise. Hi, Denise. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Denise. All right, so what did you get because of your enormous boobs? Which, by the way... I know, I'm trying to make them bigger each time I talk to them.
Of your incredibly huge breasts.
What?
So I definitely used mine to my advantage. When I was 19 or 20, I went and I worked over the summer at Hooters in between college.
Nice.
And so I made friends with this one regular guy, and I didn't hook up with him or anything. He said one day during my lunch break, I was doing a double, and he said, so do you want to go on a shopping spree? And he took me over to King of Prussia to Macy's, and I got to pick whatever I wanted.
Now, what if... That is very cool, but what if he had taken you to, like, Acme instead?
Help yourself.
Produce and dairy. Anything you want. Denise, we knew... one of our President Steve girls, Samantha. She had a guy, and it was nothing it was nothing sexual for her. It might have been for him.
Mm-hmm.
But he would take her to King of Prussia, exactly the same location. They would go from store to store. She had a friend with her, like a sort of a bodyguardish guy who would sort of hang back.
Mm-hmm.
And he would buy her all sorts of stuff.
He had to walk behind her.
Yeah. Right. Like a submissive.
Had to shame him.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Buy me this, you miserable bastard.
Yeah, yeah.
And he loved it.
Yeah, you know what?
That's how my mother met my father.
A lot of these girls that are on Instagram, they have like Amazon wish list.
Yep.
And they just, you know, it's just there.
There's a wish list.
And you can just buy them, you know, and it will just come to your house.
Denise, what did you purchase?
I purchased underwear, bra, outfits like dresses, pants, shirts. I got everything. Actually, the only thing I didn't get was shoes, but I got everything else.
Well, you'd never see them.
And how much do you think you ended up getting free merchandise-wise?
I'd say it was probably close to $500.
Nice.
Now, did you have to show him your boobs?
I didn't. The only thing was at the end when he dropped me back off at Hooters, he did try to kiss me, and I backed away, and I was like, no, sorry. Yeah.
No. I saved that for my boyfriend.
Right. All right. Thank you, Denise. Appreciate it.
I don't know. You know what? Maybe in a similar scenario, and maybe it speaks to how shallow I am, maybe I would if I had... I remember years ago when I was in college, a girl at a Burger King liked me and would give me free fries occasionally. But
here,
bragger.
It was about you can tell people you know me.
Here's some other. Let me go to Jamie. Hi, Jamie. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, Jamie? What'd you get?
I've actually gotten free tattoos.
Because of your breasts, because of your gigantic milky boobs.
Yeah, although I wouldn't go that far.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. So you're large. How big are we talking, by the way?
36 double D.
All right, okay. And a lot of people don't realize that tattoos can be very expensive.
Oh yeah,
very expensive. So put a dollar worth on how much you received in tattoo consideration.
Probably about $500.
Okay.
Nice. That seems to be the going price these days. Jamie, so where did you receive them on your body? You didn't have to get it on your boob, did you?
I have one. Well, I also have my nipples pierced.
Okay, me too.
Yeah, all right.
So I have one on my, I have Betty Boop on my nipple as the devil.
Huh.
That was free.
Kathy was looking. Kathy just said she was looking for a perfect nipple tattoo. I think that's it.
Tattoo on your
She's
nipple.
Sitting right on my nipple, yeah.
I need to see a picture of that. I'm sorry. I'm trying not to be pervy here, but...
How could you be pervy in a conversation like this?
Yeah.
I'm on my way to work now, but I'd be happy to... send it to you.
All right.
In fact, anyone who's happy to send us their pictures.
Send it care of Joe Bell.
Okay, so free tattoo. There you go. There's some freebies as well.
I want something more. I want you in a platonic way with no sex transacted, but like the guy's buying you something. Give me the most expensive dollar amount we can get.
What? Okay, well, I'm going to get what we have. I don't think we're going to get giant expensive stuff. Let me go to Morgan here. Hey, Morgan, how you doing?
Hey, how are you?
Good, Morgan. So, number one, how big are your boobs?
I have 34 triple Ds.
34 triple D. Wow.
Oh, no!
Okay. And you have gotten what for free?
I've gotten a ton of swords from the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair.
All right, so, Morgan. Is this just guys randomly showing up at your home and say like Bryn Mawr with swords, or are you do you work at the Renaissance Fair?
No, I don't work there. I just showed up and I was wearing a tight laced corset.
Uh-huh.
And during the pirate auction, they'd say, "Who wants this for free?" And people would just start bouncing in their corsets, and a lot of times people would bounce out of them and they would win free stuff.
Is that what happened with you?
No, I was able to keep mine under control, but barely.
So Preston has a whole bunch of Ren Faire swords.
I do.
What bounced out on your situation, Preston?
It was
it your huge junk?
My huge junk.
This gallant lad has a huge penis.
I know what you're talking about, because there's this pirate ship, and the guys are kind of up high while they're doing the...
Is that a thing they do?
Oh, yeah. They do a sword auction.
Oh.
And so, and sometimes they'll have free ones, and they'll give them out into the crowd. And so they have a good view, a really good view of anybody who's got some cleavage. And by the way, you want to see cleavage?
Ren Faire.
Go to the Ren Faire.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's all over the place.
And people are so happy to take pictures with you, too.
Yes.
M'lady has large, sweaty honkers. wouldst thou care to partake of a boob towel? A tata rag, if I may.
All right. So, and what did you do with all your swords, Morgan?
Went to war.
Hanging up in my house next to my throne.
You have a throne?
Yes, I have a throne. It's hand-carved. It's red and gold.
Morgan, you sound pretty awesome. How did you get this throne?
You know, you can find a lot of really fun.
She showed
stuff
her vagina.
You really can. I paid like $400 for it, and I looked up. If I wanted to get another one, I'd have to pay around $3,000.
My good lady, thy clam doth entrance me.
Yeah.
I shall give you this throne carved of ivory.
I don't mean
you
to
can carve ivory again.
I don't mean to sound pervy, but
it is completely sounds pervy.
Morgan, I need a picture of you naked on the throne with a midget. Okay.
Why would that sound pervy? I think I think any journalist would ask for
that.
All right, thank you, Morgan.
It's all in a world of, I've already had my fiance ask, so no worries.
All right, he's into
it. Hey, the gal that you follow on Instagram, Hoppy Floppy.
Oh yeah,
she gets tons of free beer. Tons
beer, and then you know she was wearing a nice little thing, number, red number, that I believe she got off of her Amazon wish list.
Oh, she has a wish list.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
one of those dealies.
I don't know.
All right, here's one that I like. We have Heather on the line. Hey, Heather, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Heather?
I was calling in. I am a 38 triple D.
Wow.
And
what is that clip?
A very young.
Well, hang on a second. That's from Dumb and Dumber 2.
Oh, well, there's Ryan.
And what him saying, I love you.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, go ahead, Heather.
Oh God, I love you.
I started at a very young age. I was like fifth grade already in a D, which was insane.
It happens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
My sister's got all the height. I got all the boobs.
All right.
So mine have gotten me out of everything. I got pulled over. It was when I was in college. I got pulled over. My inspection was expired. I didn't have any proof of insurance on me. I didn't have registration, anything. And I was speeding.
And you had a Kia Coke in the passenger seat.
I know, right? And I got told, oh, honey, it's okay. You're totally good to go. I didn't get any ticket, nothing. I've gotten bumped up to first class on flight.
So when it's, Heather, first class is a pretty good thing. Do you, when it's happening, is it overt? Do they say, do you just know it? Do you know immediately that's why you're getting the consideration?
Oh, yeah. Well, you can tell because the way they look at you.
Yeah.
And then they start talking a little sweeter to you. Mm-hmm. They start making conversation more with you. They're not just like checking you in. They're like, you know, I'm going to push you to this.
You know what? I'm going to put a little extra quinoa in this for you.
Basically.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Yes, and now that I'm married, my husband just laughs. He's like, babe, hey, babe, go up and see if you can get this.
That's what I was wondering. Totally. I was wondering if guys with flashier, you know, women, more, you know, in this case, buxom, mm-hmm. will use that for their own gain.
Oh, my wife definitely did when we were getting for some improvements that needed to get done on our on her property.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure she wore the proper clothing.
Really?
Let me ask you something.
Oh, yeah.
Does everyone get buy one window, get one free?
No. That's a deal I have with Window Nation.
Okay, I'm just wondering.
And I show them my balls to get
I'm
that.
Just wondering.
Do anything to get windows. No, but anyhow, wearing the proper attire to possibly use as an advantage? Absolutely.
Did you ask that she do this?
I didn't. And that's why I love her so much, that she did on her own, that it was...
Have you ever seen her work, like, at a restaurant? Mm-hmm. Has she ever gotten a sword?
No, not a sword.
Listen, I gotta tell you something. I just would really love to have a sword right there. Excuse me? Sword, like a Renaissance beard. Do you know what that is? I'll be right back.
I'll be back in an hour. All right, thank you, Heather, by the way. So anyhow, this model, Lindsay Pellis, her 30 double H boobs, she says they're more of a curse than a blessing. But
I think that's what you say to sort of, you know, to amp your stock a little bit. Because
well, I don't know, man. We knew a gal who was who worked at with us in radio years and years ago. Young girl intern had very, very large. She said they were excruciating, hurt her back all the time. She ended up getting a reduction and was much happier afterwards.
I wasn't as happy, but
I know. But
hey,
Think about us for crying out loud.
Yeah, come on, please.
It said, I saw something God, I highlighted that her boobs weighed 11 pounds.
11 pounds on her chest, yes.
All right, so I guess that's 5.5 on each.
Yep.
Ish.
Yep.
Or 8 on one and 3 on the other.
It happens. It happens. We weighed boobs in here.
It's actually called Vulcan syndrome, believe it or not, where one breast is inordinately larger or smaller than the other.
Right. We always call that Tom and Jerry.
Tom and Jerry.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But when we weighed boobs here in the studio, mm-hmm. what was the heaviest boob we got?
I don't
200 pounds.
No, it wasn't anywhere near 5 pounds, was it?
I don't think so.
And we should probably do that again.
Yeah, we could.
Well, we need an appropriate scale.
No, you're right.
You know what?
Precision Solutions, we can call
Precision that. Solutions, or take them to a truck weigh station and then just subtract their body weight.
Or we just have Gary Lauer come in and
no. I'll do it!
Yeah.
This
one weighs about...
Sorry, I gotta go clean myself up. This Lindsay Pilas, if you see her prior to her, there has been a total transformation. Because I saw pictures of her prior to her modeling career.
Yeah.
And she was very attractive, but she's gone full mega lips.
Oh.
Pinched nose.
I don't like that.
Don't do that. Uh-uh. Don't do that.
No. All right, but anyhow, so this all these events came together. We have the new Daily Rush video, Boob Sweat. We had this actress or this model saying that her big boobs hurt. And then the tot-tot towel, all the rage on social media over the weekend.
Look at the guys think they have lines. I'm reading some of the comments. Are your watermelons as juicy as they look?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And that's when I knew.
I want to be your lover.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Mamacita.
We'll post.
What does that say? Choose me. Do you, anybody speak Spanish?
Baby. Can you do...
Nah.
Where
I don't
is
know
it? Where
what
are you? Oh, I see.
Yeah. The top. Ernesto.
Mamacita, choose me. Asma, tuyo, baby. Can you doing this?
Can you doing this?
What is this?
Right, yes, you had inquired if I can doing this. I cannot doing this. Thank you.
I've never heard them referred to as watermelons before either.
It says water.
Watermelons with water. Two L's.
Watermelons are very juicy. Are they juicy as they look? Oh my God, I would love to go to any type of a cassavas or honeydews or cantaloupes.
Yeah. There
you
go.
Can you doing this?
The dot, dot, dot. We'll see if that takes off or not. All right, let's take a break, and we will come back in just a moment. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Stone Temple Pilots. The Record Company. I got this left to fix. Threw it all out in a Shinedown. Cause it's about to get
heavy. New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
One of the fascinating subjects that we get in from time to time is organized crime. And we got a couple of ex here that have been here before. And they have got a series that's called Mob Talk at gangstersinc.org, by the way. But some platforms you'll be able to find this on. We will find out about it in just a moment. So please welcome to the show this morning, Dave Schrattweiser and George Anastasia.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, good to see you again this morning.
I'm amazed at Kathy. She does that traffic thing so quick. It's so good.
Everyone gets dazzled by that.
I am. I'm dazzled.
So many people make comments about it.
No,
it's
good.
I'm used to it, I guess.
Yes, and you're damn good at it. Let me clarify for people, this is a YouTube channel that you guys have. Mob Talk, the sit down. Other various organized crime sites are
picking it up
because it's done well. I watched it and it's very cool.
Before we get into this, though, I just want to set up for people who may not have heard George or Dave before. Your background, your expertise. Where did tell us a little bit about Dave?
30 years covering the mob here in Philadelphia, New York, and New Jersey. George is the author of books. He'll tell you.
Yeah, I was a reporter for the Inquirer for 38 years, and I've written several books about the mob, mostly the Philadelphia mob.
Blood and Honor, The Last Gangster, and
the Goodfellow tapes, Gotti's Rules.
Yeah, yeah,
a lot of stuff. Yeah,
plenty of good stuff.
In fact, you're so good, you had your life threatened by. I was at John Stanford.
At one time, yeah, that was a while ago.
Right, right.
Thanks for reminding me of that.
He always loves to talk about that.
Oh, and man. Dave, you, of course, obviously report for Fox 29 and all your years otherwise. It's something that we were just talking. In fact, we referenced mob movies this morning. And it's something that we are perpetually drawn to. These are reprehensible people. They're horrible people. But there is something about the mechanics and the whole deal that is interesting, fascinating.
What do you both attribute the fascination, the core fascination with the mob lifestyle to?
Well, I think Americans have always been fascinated with the gangster, whether it's Billy the Kid, Jesse James, or Don Corleone or Al Capone. It's just been a continuation of that. It's something about the American psyche that likes the outlaw, the rogue.
Somebody
operates outside the law.
Is it also because they have their own sort of Bushido or their own sort of their code? You know, that you're always fascinated by ritual. Is that part of the draw as well?
Yeah, I think the code's gone out the window pretty much these days.
Has it?
But look, it's like talking about cars and sports and things like that. It's water cooler talk. So I think guys like to stand around talking about that kind of stuff. They like to watch mob movies.
I think there's a couple subjects. Sports, politics, organized crime. Not everybody likes it, but those that do can't get enough of it.
It's absolutely true. Yeah. You're exactly right. Talking about the code going out the window, George, have you seen... What have you seen as far as... Days of yore with the mob?
Well, I mean, I think it's sociologically, second and third generation Italian Americans, the best and the brightest, are now doctors, lawyers, and educators, and the mob's scraping the bottom of the gene pool.
Okay.
So this whole idea of honor and loyalty, I think, is by the boards.
Has there been a blending with things like MS-13, and as you know, is there more street gang stuff seeping into the mob?
I think there's always been a little allure to that kind of thing on the edges of the organized crime world, mob worlds, but even here in Philadelphia. But I don't think any of the big gangs, MS-13 or any of those, are you know, kind of connected in with this group. They operate on their own.
Okay.
Do they do business with some of those and maybe take money from some of those? Probably.
And I mean, given the history of the Philadelphia mob in the last 20 years, I don't think there's too many other organizations that will want to do business with them.
Yeah.
Where did the Philadelphia mob fall in the pecking order of mob history throughout the United States? I mean, you know, you always tend to think...
If New York's the major leagues, then Philadelphia's AAA.
Okay.
Yeah, that's about what it is.
All right. And was there, now, right now, we're dealing with a situation where Joey Merlino, who is, you know, obviously a prominent Philadelphia mobster, he's now in trouble for...
Again,
trying to secure illegal business with New York mobsters. Explain what's going on with this.
That's the East Coast LCN is the indictment out of New York. In fact, next week, it's a year since they were indicted. He was picked up in down in Boca Raton where he's living now, but he's been up here a lot this summer.
He says he splits his time, but seems to be proof that he's here a lot more than he would indicate.
This summer, he's been all over the place at the Jersey Shore, lots of social media. You know, he's the social media gangster. George will tell you this. I mean, the guy gets told by a judge he can't go to a wedding with another mob guy, and it's a national story all over the place.
Yeah.
He's the John Gotti of Passyunk Avenue. I mean, he's the face of the Philadelphia mob.
And Gotti's flashiness is one of the reasons they wanted to bring him down. Because you're
right.
There's supposed to be a code of anonymity and of a clandestine nature. When you're too flashy, you're useless to the mob.
Well, yeah, you may make
look at
money.
The picture you got up over there. I mean, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
The idea was
make money, not headlines. Don't call attention to yourself.
Right.
Let me ask you.
Gotti changed all that.
A guy like Merlino, he goes, he does time. He's out. He can. Why go back to that old lifestyle when you're under the microscope
question. I think it goes to who he is and what he's always been.
Yeah. Yeah,
the best line about Joey Merlino came from Ronnie Previty, a guy who wrote a book about. He said, Joey's agenda on Monday is to get to Tuesday. I mean, that's the way he approached life.
Yeah.
You know? And if you've got the cash and the wherewithal to do it, it's a nice way to live.
And
no
he's constantly
worries.
You know, he's constantly looking around for new things to get involved with. I mean, down in Boca, up here in the Philadelphia area, those kind of things. They're into everything from LED lighting to house flipping.
Isn't that wild?
In South Philly and other things that, you know,
they get
George likes to say they got to take care of economic problems.
Economic problems. And in a lot of ways, they've tried to legitimize themselves. Most of the guys on the street now have been in jail. They don't want to go back.
Mm. So in his case, where does he fall in the history as far as his power, his level, his viciousness? Where does a Merlino sit in that pecking order?
One, Joey's got the mob pedigree. His uncle and his father were gangsters, so he's a second generation gangster. He's the celebrity of Passion Governor, as I said. Everybody knows him, and I think he epitomizes kind of the new wave of the mob, the celebrity gangster. Oh, look at me, I'm a gangster. That kind of stuff. And there's a positive to that and a negative. The positive is he's a celebrity, gets a lot of attention.
Right.
The negative is, why do you want that?
Right.
Given what you're doing,
George, because of his family history, is there a case where you can sort of be born a made mobster, or do you still have to go through the?
I mean, you got to go through the process.
Yeah.
But if you've got family connections, it's like any other business. You got a leg up.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You're a legacy, as they say.
Well, and the difference is this: there's a story out of New York where John Gotti and Vincent Gigotti were talking, and Gotti was saying, "My son just got made." And Gigante said, I'm sorry to hear that. I mean, Gigante didn't want his kids involved. He knew what the life was. Gotti thought it was great that his son became a gangster.
But there's been stories out there now that are hanging around. You can, you know, buy your way into the mob for 10 grand. You can become a made member, that kind of thing.
And I mean, buy your button.
It's up for sale.
Really?
Buy your button, as they say.
That's wild. So Merlino now is there's the big issue is that there are recordings of him that are fairly damning. What happened here?
You know, The feds had a cooperator in New York who went down to Florida, connected with Joey, and he was wired up. So he recorded a lot of conversations. It's a real question about whether the government will be able to use any of those tapes if and when this goes to trial, whether they're relevant and whether they were obtained legally. But, yeah, there's some damaging tapes out there. We haven't heard much of them, but we heard the one where he and another guy are talking about how easy it is to kill somebody, and they discuss it.
Yeah, it's wild you'd think in this day and age, David and George, that with the technology – I mean, surveillance, with what they can do, that it's never been easier. And that's got to – what lengths does the mob have to go to evade?
Well, you would think they wouldn't talk about it's easy to kill somebody, you know, get him in a car, he's a friend, give me a ride home, shoot him in the head, it's all over with. That's the tape we're talking about here. Now, we don't know the context, what happened before, what's after. Is this Joey puffing to a New York wise guy?
Trying to talk big.
But Joey Merlino really doesn't have to talk big. I mean, if anybody knows anything about him, you know – his history goes on for 30 years here of doing this kind of thing, in and out of prison, that kind of thing.
You know, it's funny because in New York, and I knew a lot of people who lived in Gotti's neighborhood. You would never know the people who lived in proximity. And maybe it's the same with Merlino when he was here. There was no indication, no nothing. Like, you know, nice guy and blah, blah, blah. How do they manage to do that, to keep these two worlds so... you know, clinically separate, you know?
Yeah, well, when Joey had the restaurant down in Florida, I mean, he is a nice guy. He's table to table. He's smoking a cigar with you, having a drink with you at the bar, that kind of thing. He's the ultimate, you know, kind of guy you want socializing in your place. People want to be around him, especially in Florida down there. Wherever he goes, cigar bars, restaurants, things like that, high-end places, you know, everybody wants to rub up against them, you know.
This informant that I'm talking about, J.R. Rubio, we've written a little bit about him, talked a little bit about him. He apparently said, and he's around wise guys all his life, he said, all these mobsters want to take your money. Joey makes you feel good while he's doing it. And that's kind of the difference, you know. He's a fun guy to be around in the right setting, but you don't want to cross him.
So, Merlino, the illegal businesses, I guess, loan sharking, gambling, extortion, those seem to be sort of, and forgive my ignorance, those sound like crimes of...
Yeah, they're into LED lighting and replacing all your lights in your warehouse, car dealership, etc., you know.
That's the extortion?
State and federal...
That's a quasi-legitimate stuff.
Yeah, it's all legitimate now. We don't know anything illegal going on there yet.
The case in New York also includes medical fraud.
Okay.
Insurance fraud. And they got involved in this compound cream business.
Compound cream?
Yeah, pain cream.
Pain cream,
really? Yeah. Like Blue Emu and stuff like that?
You go to your doctor, I got a pain in my elbow, I can't take a pill. The doctor writes a script for a special compound cream that's got to be made up just for you. And they get the pharmaceutical company involved, and they charge you $1,000, $5,000 for a tube.
Dude, I had that. I had to buy a compound cream.
Yeah, there you go.
It was out of Minneapolis, though.
Yeah.
And it was for when I had torn a ligament in my foot. That's weird.
Well, this was out of Florida, but it's the same scam. It's an amazing thing.
And coming out today in New Jersey is going to be some pleas down in South Jersey about this very same kind of scheme.
The compound cream
hundreds
scam.
Hundreds of millions of dollars across the country.
A related case in Tampa, Florida alleged $157 million in insurance fraud. So it makes this extortion and bookmaking penny ante stuff.
Yeah, $10,000 a month for this cream.
It's crazy.
Some of this stuff. Yeah. It's incredible. And nobody has any proof that it works.
Look, these guys always go where the money is. That's what it's about.
You got to hand it to how creative they can
get. Oh, no doubt.
I mean, there was a story, Steve, and I've forgotten. You're better with names than I am, but we had a former mobster in the studio, and he had said the biggest scam ever run was out of New York City, and it was gasoline.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
They were doing that with the Russians. Yeah. Yeah. But incredibly creative in how they would go about
hundreds
making
hundreds of millions of dollars.
That was Michael Franzese.
What was the scam?
They would buy up a gas station, and they would charge really, really low, I think.
In the gas system, there's an excise tax that's got to be paid somewhere along the chain.
Yeah.
They created a daisy chain. Nobody paid the tax. But at the time the government looked into it 6 months later, those companies have folded, and they made off with tens of millions of dollars.
They would just leave the gas station.
That's it?
They'd take their money and run, and nobody would be able to
track them down. And Michael's a preacher now goes. Yeah, I actually saw him at a church up in Lancaster County. The guy was he knocked it out of the park.
Turned it around.
Incredible.
Well, he's one of these guys that found Jesus. A lot of people didn't know Jesus was lost, but they
they found him. I'll ask you this.
Okay. A while back, I'm sorry. It might have been there were some Catholic priests in Sicily and so forth were refusing to take confessions from known mobsters to try and get them where religion was, you know, because
they didn't believe in their contrition. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, exactly. So they were trying to take that angle with it.
With this level, to Preston's point, you know, with that kind of ingenuity, were they to turn those efforts on something legitimate, an attempt? You know, but what is it? Is it the lure of the nefarious nature of it? Is it the excitement?
I think they're always looking for an angle. You know? I mean, I think they start out maybe with the best of intentions, you know, on legal stuff. They actually have a safety training academy in South Philadelphia training people who are safety officers on construction sites.
Yeah.
Except there's been stories about this.
Right.
The Genovese crime family's involved with that and other groups. There was an FBI guy undercover in the company.
As a family member, and by that I don't mean the mob family, but a legitimate relative of somebody who's deep into the mob, can you accidentally kind of find yourself all of a sudden involved in the business and not meaning to get into it in that way?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you're quasi-legitimate or legitimate and all of a sudden you got a partner you didn't want or you got a family member who wants a piece of it or a family member who's just going to help you out, it can happen.
Yeah.
And then how do you get out of that?
How do you get out of that?
Now look at the Scafidis. Tori Scafidi was a maid guy under Scarfo. His brother is Tommy Scafidi. He ended up as an associate and then the maid guy himself. And they controlled like 300 places to pick up money during their heyday. And Scafidi actually went from the Merlino faction to the Stanford faction back to the Merlino faction.
And now to the FBI.
Yeah, now to the FBI. He's a cooperator. He's out of town. He's on the witness protection program, whatever you want to call it. And his big deal, his big allure to the mob guys was he had the book with 300 guys we can go pick up money from.
Wow.
Local corner bars.
I've got the Rolodex.
Yeah. The old day Rolodex.
The old Rolodex.
What is that? Rolodex, what is that?
Where's my iPhone? Yeah, where's my iPhone?
Hey, you want to hear something funny, too? Yeah, we talk about bugging people and how they get them now. I mean, the FBI has every little device you can think of, including your iPhone watch.
Yeah,
Apple watch. They can tape record you on while you're wearing it.
Watch. I've got mine on right now.
Sure. They're probably listening to us right now.
Listening.
Don't be surprised.
It's very cool. A quick question on because Black Mass was just on again, and I forget if we ever had the opportunity to ask either of you. Did Whitey Bulger ever figure into anything in Philadelphia?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, the only connection to Philadelphia out of Boston is Bobby Luisi, who also was a preacher now. Whitey Bulger is a fascinating character, a whole different situation.
Whole different situation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they have some links, and I think there's some going on now with the organized crime family up in Boston. It's a patriarchal crime family out of Rhode Island, Boston. I think there's some new inroads being made.
And there was that famous robbery of the museum up there where supposedly some of the artwork ended up in Philadelphia at one point. I don't know if that's true or not.
$500 million worth of art is still out of there. Yeah,
but I still haven't recovered it. George and Dave have it's on YouTube. It's called Mob Talk. If you just want to do a search on Mob Talk, you'll be able to find it. Are you guys discussing just Philly-based organized crime, or are you just going all over the country?
At this point, but I think we'd like to expand. We're just trying to find a platform. We used to do this for Fox 29. Yeah. I did it for the newspaper. People seemed to like it, and we said, let's just do it ourselves.
Everywhere we go, people are always there. I was in North Carolina over the weekend. Some guy bumps into me and said, when are you guys going to do that Mob Talk thing? I said, well, funny thing is, we are.
Yeah. So just started recently, correct?
Two weeks ago.
Okay,
two episodes so far.
So if you have any sort of fascination, and we all do, we talk about it constantly. It's just something that catches our fancy. You got to check this out because I watched the segment up about Joey Merlino. Mm. It's fascinating.
Yeah, episode 3 coming up this weekend. So YouTube. I'm
looking at a number of texts coming in of people that have that see Joey regularly. Here's one says, I just crossed paths with him in Margate 2 weeks ago. Yep. And somebody was sitting next to him while he was getting his hair cut the other day. So
I encountered
him one time. Yeah. It was when I first moved here to Philadelphia and I went to, there was a nightclub called Egypt.
Eighth floor.
Say hello. He's a very nice guy, very personable guy.
I was getting paid, and I was in the back room with the manager, and he goes, this is one of the guys that helps us run this place is Joe. I go, hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you. And then, like, several weeks later, I was watching TV with a friend of mine. I'm like, hey, I met that guy. He's like, you met Skinny Joey? I'm like, who the hell is that?
Well, now he'd like to say he knows you. I mean, he's a celebrity thing. Hockey players, basketball players, football players, Miami Heat games, Sixer games, Flyer games. He's all about that. He'd love to say he knows you.
Sure, no doubt.
Absolutely. Right. He probably has a picture up on a wall somewhere.
He's got a Preston and Steve picture up on his wall.
Hey, why not?
So,
I would.
So two episodes are available now, and you got a third one coming. And
fascinating.
It's real simple to do. You can either go to gangstersinc.com or do a search on YouTube, but it's called Mob Talk. But there's plenty of material there for you guys, and you certainly have your history with it, so you know what you're talking
about.
Good
episodes coming up, so tune in.
It's good to see you guys. Thanks
thank you
for
having us.
All right, it's here for George Anastasia and Dave Schrettweiser. Mob Talk, my friends. Fascinating stuff.
MMR was pretty humbled when the biggest hard rock band on the planet said yes to playing our final big birthday concert event. Okay, maybe not humbled. More like ecstatic. The MMR 50th finale with Metallica. October 25th, we blow out the 50 candles on our cake and blow the roof off the Wells Fargo Center. We begin our 50-day march to Metallica. Every day, you can win the coolest Metallica treasures, CDs, concert posters, collectible vinyl, and tickets. Grand prize, meet the band and take home a custom Metallica Yeti cooler. It's MMR's 50th finale with Metallica, on sale now at WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com.
Hey, congratulations goes out to a guy who worked with us for a long time and for not a penny either.
No.
This is back in the days where you could have indentured servitude.
Yeah.
A.K.A. internship for years without getting any college credit whatsoever.
And we had him for years.
Our buddy Joe Yoakum, also known as Intern Joe. And he was with us for years as an intern.
I mean, probably our longest running intern, right?
Easily. Yeah. And he was the butt of a lot of abuse, including that. That was when he got a taint tattoo. But he got married over the weekend.
Joe!
And Joe's he's a good guy, man.
He really is.
He's a good person. And Casey was at the nuptials, got to announce the happy couple.
Yes. So that was quite an honor.
Yeah.
He had asked me to, so he had, you know, had a small wedding party. And then he asked me to
where was it?
Okay. Appleford Farms, Apple something Farms. Okay.
Where?
In Villanova. Uh-huh. Beautiful, beautiful.
I like those farm
place.
Things.
Yeah.
I like those.
Not farms, mansion.
I like those mansion things.
Yeah. It's a mansion. I mean, like you're driving past all these mansion peoples.
Yeah.
And then you turn down a long driveway into another mansion, and it's just beautiful. And they got married in this beautiful meadow. Steve, the minister of the wedding, was Abby. I'm sorry. Congratulations to Joe and Abby. His wife's name is Abby.
Okay.
Her brother was the minister for the wedding.
Oh.
And he is a brother of yours, Steve.
Oh, of the Universal Life Church of Modesto, California.
Correct. I think they have since moved. They may be in Seattle, Washington now, but he is a...
Oh, really?
Yeah, Universal Life
Church. I thought they were going to Pomona.
All right, so you had mentioned to us that there was a special comment made during the best man speech.
Yes.
And how did that go?
It was great. Yeah. So Joe's best man, his name is John. He's been his best friend for a long, long time. And he when I talked to him beforehand, he said, you know, I'm just going to keep it short and sweet.
Yes.
I'll just get right to the point.
Good idea.
Nothing flashy or anything like that. So he did, you know, and then he asked everybody to raise their glasses. And, man, did he floor the entire room with his toast.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure this is how it went.
Okay.
I wrote it down so I don't mess it up. But right. Everybody raise your glasses.
Yeah.
May love always be tattooed on your hearts and may it never be tainted.
And
the crowd went wild. And for anybody in the room that understood the joke, they got it and they went crazy.
Well done.
And for those of you who do not know, Joe got a tattoo on his taint.
Attempted, started. It wasn't
it's there.
It's there.
Did he fully complete it?
No. It doesn't have to be completed to be a tattoo.
Okay, yeah, you're
right. He's got a taint tattoo.
He does.
It was there. It was the monkey pick ass, right?
Not monkey pick ass.
His was it balls 2 centimeters?
Yeah.
It was a European street sign.
With an arrow pointed to his testicles.
And then when we were in, because he showed us after it was done, when we were in one of the mystery trips we did, I think we were in Mexico, and he just laid down on the bed, pulled his pants down, spread it, and showed us. I was like, okay, cool, yep. Your tattoo's still there.
That is a well-done speech. That is a great way to do it.
It was great.
May love be tattooed on your hearts and never be tainted.
And never be tainted.
That's fantastic.
So, awesome. To explain...
I love it.
When we play this... that was the drill first hitting the very needle,
the tattoo machine. Yeah,
hitting the taint, which apparently there's a nerve bundle down there,
and Joe
found out quickly.
Yep, and it was. We will always have that, which was awesome. Have any of you guys ever given a best man speech at a wedding before? You've given three?
I've given three.
Wow.
Yeah, I did it for my brother, Adam. I sort of presided at that wedding, and I was incredibly nervous, even though I speak on a microphone every day. Doing it in front of friends and family is nerve-wracking. And the other story that comes to mind for me was that my friend Brett got married 10, 15 years ago, and his brother was supposed to deliver the best man speech. And the DJ hands the microphone over to Brett's brother, and Brett's brother chokes and has nothing. Well, almost. He's like,
Oh, no.
No thanks.
Wait a minute.
No thanks.
So did he know he was supposed to do that?
Sure did.
No thanks is not a proper response.
No.
He completely choked under pressure.
Oh, that's terrible.
There were several guys in the wedding party, so the microphone just sort of went down, and we didn't know that we were going to talk at all.
Yeah.
No thanks.
You had
no
to
thanks.
Make up for him.
Yeah.
So was it because of public speaking fear, you think?
You got completely nervous at the very last moment and bailed. Bailed on the speech entirely.
It's such a precarious thing, because that actually if you're going to put them in order of importance, that's in the top three, clearly, that best man speech. That's everyone sitting there. You're making the toast. You have the chance to really, you know, create the mood of the evening to follow and you know, come from the heart and all that stuff. And if you screw it up, it can be really bad.
All right. So speaking of that, coming from the heart, the first best man speech I ever delivered, I was probably in the neighborhood of 24 years old, still a little kid. It was my older brother. My big brother got married, and he had me deliver the best man speech, and my little brother deliver the toast.
So you were co-best men?
Co-best men.
Okay.
And my mom was on me for weeks, months. Did you write your speech yet? Did you write your speech yet? And then I was like, yeah, I did it. And so I had written down a couple of things, but nothing. I wanted it, like you said, Steve, to come from the heart.
Yeah.
It was terrible. You know, but it wasn't like...
So you just used the president's speech from Independence Day?
No.
This is our Independence Day.
All right, so in my defense, I have heard worse, though.
Okay. I
have witnessed worse. Listen, the idea was there. I love my brother, and I was really happy for him and his what's her name? Lori, yeah. I was happy for them, but... I could have done better. I could have prepared more.
All right.
Now, my oldest friend Mike got married, and I was the best man, and he had another co-best man. And I had delivered a speech, but I had to deliver a speech after this other guy. And this other guy...
Dazzled?
No.
Stunk.
Steve, he basically, his whole speech was about, he said, oh, if we all had superpowers, his superpower, the groom's superpower would be his giant penis.
Excuse me?
I swear to God.
Excuse me.
I swear to
you. His superpower would be his giant penis.
Yes.
This in front of his grandparents and...
Her parents.
Gum-Gum. Her whole family. Gum-Gum is there. She just ordered her pound cake.
Did you hear an audible, gasp?
I was like, is this really happening?
Yeah.
Like, because I know this guy.
So he wanted... He was commenting that he just wished he had a large penis. He wasn't commenting on...
No.
He was saying that the best man had, or that, no, the, he was the, saying groom that the groom has a big penis.
Had a big penis.
Yeah.
And wow. That's the most important thing.
I mean,
darn
tootin' he does.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be surprised, because I know this guy. I know the best man. And, he.
Is this the dude that slapped it down on the table with you guys?
No. Okay. No, that's a different guy. But, and that was gigantic, too. I shouldn't be surprised. But then I had to get up and deliver a speech after this.
It's really not that big.
And I had, a really well-thought-out speech. I had rehearsed it and all this sort of stuff.
It's impossible to follow a D-joke.
That guy started giving me the hook.
I mean, he literally...
Are you serious?
He literally comes...
You're embarrassing yourself. What's this talk of love and long-term commitment? Go to the penis. You're embarrassing yourself. Talk about his balls.
No, he literally came out onto wherever I was and started pulling me off. Like, okay, that's enough. That's
loving
enough.
Children.
Yeah.
Talk about his penis and the veins.
Please.
Oh, my God.
Please,
what did
please.
You do?
Oh, my God. I can't even watch this. He won't even say penis.
I said, I can't believe you're doing this. Like, you literally were talking about the man's penis.
You said that on the microphone?
Nice.
And did he back off?
I can't remember.
Who was this guy?
His name's Chris. Chris Capriotti. Oh. Anybody that went to Stratton High School knows.
I will tell you this. And just in comedy in general, if no matter what you're doing, trying to follow a D-joke, like an extended D-joke, is going to be impossible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we've all seen interesting best man speeches before. Here's one somebody texted and said, my dad was my best man. In the middle of his speech, the fire alarm went off at the fire hall next that we were at. He kept talking. When the alarm was done, he said, thank you, love you guys, and it was done, and nobody had any idea what the hell he said during the speech because the alarm was going off the whole time.
And perhaps that was better.
I gave a speech for one of my best friends, Ben. I was his best man. He was my best man, and I was not happy with what I did. I didn't embarrass us or anything like that, but I just wish I would have done a better, more heartfelt.
Oh, really?
I was, I don't know, 30. I was old enough.
Okay.
I was 28.
Doesn't matter, though. It is a unique, and to Nick's point about public speaking and doing what we do for a living, you're surrounded by friends and family, and the onus is on you to deliver something with some gravitas.
I've heard some really good ones and been like, damn, why couldn't I come up with that one? Kathy, you heard a messed up one time, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I was at the wedding, and it was a friend of mine. I was friends with him, and his best man, which I didn't know, he had two best men. The first one got up, and he had a little too much to drink at cocktail hour.
Oh, there you go.
And he gave the speech, and he told the story of the night that the couple had met, which was like a drunken bar night, basically, and how they had sex 13 times in 24 hours or something like that. And her father who paid for this extravagant wedding, was slumped over in the chair and just hiding his face. And the grandparents, all of the parents were just mortified, and
the 11th time, and this was the one he brought the dwarf in for.
No, I mean, that's pretty much what it was like, and
they must have been livid.
The bride was livid. I mean, at the end of the night, I remember saying goodbye to her, and she was still complaining and bitching and rightfully so, about the best man's speech. Now, the second guy basically took the microphone from him after he wouldn't stop, and he saved the day. He gave a very heartfelt speech. It was very nice. It was classy, and he kind of saved it. But, I mean, to this day, they've been married for years now. They have two kids. Everybody who was at the wedding still talks about it.
Yeah.
If you're creating a list of obviously verboten topics when you're giving your best man speech, prior sexual escapades is clearly at the top of the list.
Yep.
I can't believe this whore is finally settling down.
We're stealing the thunder, because there was a story not too long ago where the best man got up and was giving the speech and in the middle of it proposed to his girlfriend.
No, don't do that.
No,
though, that was done with prior consent. But I still think that is a jackass move.
It is.
It's
not
a jackass move to even ask about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
all right. Let me go to some calls here. I have Trey. Hi, Trey. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? Trey, what's up, bud?
Hey, I went to a wedding where the best man was stuttering through the entire speech. He got to the only part that was really coherent was where he described him and the groom being tunnel buddies.
Tunnel buddies?
What?
Yes. What? Is that sexual?
Yes. Tunnel buddies is where you have shared the same woman.
Like in the same guy. Tunnel buddies.
Was the bride the same woman by any chance?
The bride was jawed to the ground. Everybody's looking around, like people our age are looking around like, oh my God, I can't believe he just said that.
Oh,
and then all
God.
The older people are grabbing their phones and Googling what a tunnel buddy is.
Yes. Yes.
You know, John and I, we love DVDA. And... When you do that with someone, you forge a bond.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That's
terrible. Tunnel buddies. Holy crap.
Oh, my God.
It was mortifying. And all of us are looking around at each other like, oh, my God, I cannot believe he just said that.
So, Trey, you and your buddies knew from the get-go what he was referencing.
Oh, we knew what it was.
Hey, wow. What was the groom's reaction to this?
Yeah.
He just kind of grinned and shook his head. And, of course, the bride looking at him like, are you kidding me?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah, it means nice. That we both did the same chick.
Thanks, Trey. Yeah, right, exactly.
It's a wonderful story.
I wonder if there are some brides that have the fear of that. Their husband's best friend.
Oh, I'm sure.
They just kind of deal with the fact that that's his best friend and that's the guy.
I know somebody, a bride who sat down with him was like, look, you give a nice speech or you're not giving one at all.
Okay.
Or what? Then this has happened too, and this happened with a friend of mine. His the best man used to be in a full blown relationship with the bride, and that she did have to have that talk. Like whatever, you keep it right down this path. Don't veer off at all. Don't mention that we were this or that because you can only make things worse.
Do the bridesmaids ever give a bad speech, by the way? The maid of honor?
You know what?
It's usually not.
It's usually the guys, isn't it?
Yeah. I always joke that it's, you know, you're such a strong woman and we've, you know, been on this journey together and now we separate and you go with the man you found.
Right.
I gave two speeches, but I did not go that way. I put a little humor into it. I think actually Steve may have helped me.
Did I help you with
this?
I think you did.
He gave me a few jokes and it was... it was something along the lines of like, don't rub the lamp if you don't want the genie to come out or something along those lines.
Okay. All right.
I forgot what I was going to say.
That's okay. Ooh. Nick has something.
Go to D material whenever you can.
No, one thing that we in the industry sort of abhor when at any speech is bad mic technique. And I mean by that is just not holding the microphone near
at
enough
waist
to your
level.
Mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just something that, listen, if you've never.
When I first met Debbie.
Yeah. If you don't know how to use a microphone, I understand how this mistake can happen. But just as like a public service announcement.
Thank you.
Hold it near your mouth and just practice what it sounds like a couple of times. You know, it doesn't take much work.
There is no definition for love.
Yeah.
most people are not used to hearing their voice magnified. And when they first hear, or amplified, I should say, when they first hear it, it's uncomfortable. And they pull away and then they hold the microphone down at their waist. I was at a charity event last weekend, Nick, where I'm just like, as soon as a person started speaking, and you know, as we do this for a living, and I'm like, oh, no, not one of those.
Right. Oh, my God, do I actually sound like this? Oh, my God.
What's wrong? Is this on, this mic?
Thank you for
what's wrong? I'm trying. Is this?
Yes, thank you.
No.
Always get Nick
like
is right.
That.
Always get,
like this.
Get close to the microphone.
Let me try it again.
Anybody?
No.
I was at one where the best man was. He thought he was funnier than he really was, and he was laughing at all his own jokes.
Was that
just terrible jokes? It was
like that helped by alcohol, or was he just?
Fairly on in early on in the evening, so you know he was probably warm and lubricated, but he definitely wasn't loaded. But there were just dumb jokes like. I remember when Bill and Sally, they went out on their first date. I'm surprised they went out on the second one.
Oh, God. That's God. Terrible.
Hang on. I got to go to this call. Dave, a wedding DJ, and by the way, wedding DJs have seen it all.
Oh, yes, they have.
Is on the line with a good story for us. Hey, Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Sorry to bother you at work.
It's okay. Hey, what's up, man?
All right, so I have heard hundreds of best men and matron of honor speeches, and the best men tend to bomb more than the matron of honor.
Okay.
That's what we were figuring.
I believe it. Yeah, the women probably keep it simple,
Right. So I have heard one best man speech ever get cut short.
Okay.
So he wasn't just talking about the groom's day. He actually went into detail on one time in college when they got so drunk that he effed the groom's day.
He gave an oral favor to the groom. And he decided this was the right time.
Oh my God!
To share this.
I have never seen the look of a blank face on a grandmother.
And Dave, did he?
What was that? What did he do?
Did he word it that he sucked his deep? Did he use those words?
Yes, he was not radio friendly.
God. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
You know, this reminds me of the time that my mouth was wide open and Harry was in it.
Wow.
Dave, please raise your glasses.
Oh, so Who stopped him? Who grabbed the mic? Was it the groom himself, or did somebody else jump in?
Yeah, the groom jumped up. Because the groom knew where the story was going.
Oh, no.
Jumped up and,
was it, so let me ask you something, Dave. Did you get the sense that was his coming out announcement, or was he...
I don't know.
Funny story.
There's really no explanation.
You ever taste a dude?
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah. All right, so I'm wondering if it ended up... in a fight, did the guy have to leave? Also, did this happen in and around this area?
It was in this area. He did not get into a fight with the groom, but he was kind of tucked in a corner for the rest of the
night. How do you not leave? He stayed? You know? I mean, I would be the hasty retreat.
He was on a very tight leash.
Oh,
right.
My God.
Wow.
All right, thanks, Dave.
You know, even if you had to give oral pleasures to the limo driver to get him.
I tell you what, there was a wedding that I was not a part of, but I wish I would have been. I was in Atlanta, and this is back when Marilyn Wessel was still on the show, and we went to Atlanta for
a radio convention.
It was a radio convention, and
I was
waiting for Marilyn outside of a hotel. We were going to go out and get some dinner or something like
that. Oh, yeah.
And I wish I would have been invited to this wedding because a white limo pulls up, wedding party gets out. Last one to get out is the bride. The bride gets out, and I can see she's ceremony, they went out and had a couple of cocktails before heading to the reception. She gets out, and she looks around and looks a little, and people are helping hold her up. Oh, she looks a little confused, and she just proceeds to vomit all over her wedding dress. And I mean... it was like a dark brownish, chunky. They must have eaten chili or something while they were at happy hour.
Everyone having enough chili?
It just went all over her dress. And I'm like, the reception hasn't even started. Oh, you've got like the next three or 4 hours to deal with. And the announcements and the toast and all of that stuff.
Well,
there's no way she would have made it through that because she was stumbling, wasted, and puking all over herself. I wish I would have been invited to that wedding.
You have to tap out.
Yeah.
There's no if you're that ill.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes you boot and rally.
Yeah, it does happen.
It's not a frat party, though.
I've seen it happen over here.
You know, Preston, it does come to mind though, and we I think we grabbed the clip of the Wedding Crashers. Sometimes I've heard people quote movies, and that's always an easy out. If there's a speech or something from a film, I'm reminded of this. You don't have the words, just repeat them, you know, pay a tribute, and then that always gets it done.
Nick Murphy had a great wedding, and there were some really great speeches that night, and but especially the guy who presided over it. Open with the line, and it was wonderful. The first thing he said was, "Marriage." Marriage is what brings us here together today. And I'm like, yes! It was awesome, right out of a Princess Bride.
I like the way Nick Murphy's wedding party, they used their iPhones, and they each groomsman gave, like, a short speech.
Yeah.
So instead of one long one from the best man, it was kind of from everybody.
And in fact, didn't they all, like, tie together somehow or another the speeches?
Like a human centipede.
It's kind of like a human centipede. Hang on. Actually, Megan has a good story from one of the speeches that came from her wedding ceremony. Hi, Megan. You're on the air. Good morning.
Actually, my husband spent weeks writing this fabulous best man speech, and it was really good. He delivered it perfect. And afterwards, everyone thought I wrote it.
It was so good they thought I wrote it. Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good.
I guess in this day and age, thank you, Megan, by the way, you can probably find something online that will help you do it the right
it's
way
easy.
If you're not very good at it and be able to go through. You mentioned Wedding Crashers. Here's the Maid of Honor speech.
Yeah.
I'll play a clip of this.
I never thought that my sister would find someone who cared about what other people thought as much as she did until I met Craig.
And that was supposed to be funny, right?
Funny, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's going to kill. It's going to kill.
Right.
As you all know, my sister and Craig are both lawyers at big law firms in New York. But that's not the only thing they have in common. They both like the color green, like Craig's eyes, and money.
Bomb. You can't try to be funny, man. And then all of a sudden she starts...
Yeah, she remembers what Owen
Allison said. Someone once told me that true love is... the soul's recognition of its counterpoint in another.
And then she goes on and boom. She ends up knocking yeah. out of the park. Yes, exactly. And then what is this from old school? Hang on a second. Yeah. What was this?
Excuse me. I'd like to say I'm really glad and proud to be here tonight. I'm glad to see Frank's dad made it out. That's awesome. I hadn't seen him in like 8 years. That's great. Congratulations.
I love you, Dad.
True love is hard to find. Sometimes you think you have true love, and then you catch the early flight home from San Diego, and a couple of nude people jump out of your bathroom blindfolded like a goddamn magic show ready to double-team your girlfriend. And it stops
right here. It continues right here, because I think what my friend Mitch is trying to say is that true love is blind.
True love is blind.
Laser glasses, whatever we got in front of us. Salute. Health and happiness.
I love it, man. Like, oh, no.
I think it was something they found online, but Dennis and his brother did an interpretive dance at their third brother's
what?
As their best man speech. Yeah.
Oh, that's.
And they just said to the DJ, like right before they went up, they were like, give us the slowest, sappiest song you have. And the DJ was like, you got it. I have the perfect song. I forget what it was, but yeah, it was. People were rolling. I mean,
and you know, it'd be nice to do the Romy and Michelle to the Cyndi Lauper song. Yeah,
yeah. Did they rehearse it, Kathy? Or
no, they just got up and they were like hugging each other and like went down to the floor on one knee and then and then afterwards they gave a nice speech.
Man, I love it. Let me get one more quick call here. I have Alex. Hey, Alex, how you doing?
Good, good. You guys rock.
Thanks, uh-huh. man. What's up, Alex?
Yeah. So mine was kind of embarrassing. I definitely had a few too many drinks. I was the best man, and. I ended up saying the bride's name wrong.
You said the bride's, like a completely, like just slightly off or a totally like ex-girlfriend type of thing?
Oh, no. Not ex-girlfriend, but her nickname. I knew her nickname, but I tried to do her formal name and I completely botched it. And
you know how you could have covered that over? Confess to having the groom in your mouth at one point.
Right. Oh, that probably would have won the crowd
People
over.
Would have forgotten that instantly.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't.
Here's a text that says, my husband used whale's vagina in his speech because the bride was from San Diego. oh, my God.
You have to hope that the crowd also is savvy enough to that reference.
Right.
If you are going to go the extra mile and bring up the whale's vagina.
Yeah. But I liked Casey had pointed out at Joe's wedding, his best man managed to work in the taint tattoo in a roundabout way.
Yep. Yeah.
Where if you knew what it was, you knew what it was. Yep. And if not, but he did. Did he? End up saying Joe got a taint.
No.
Okay.
No.
Just
like
it.
I said,
it,
who if, knew? If anybody knew, they knew. And if you yeah. didn't, you know, it was just a nice toast.
Congratulations to Joe and Abby. And I thought that was a nice little tribute that his buddy did.
Preston and Steve.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre Final.
The B-File brought to you by Heritage Business Systems. The document imaging equipment solution is Heritage Business Systems. Service, satisfaction, reliability, that's Heritage Business Systems, your authorized Canon copier dealer.
Start with this. A Georgia mother says it was a pair of 9 and 10-year-old neighborhood boys who ran to her rescue and instructed her how to perform CPR on her 2-month-old son after hearing her desperate cries for help.
Whoa, 10?
Yeah, 9 and 10. Wife Susanna Rahm's son, Isaiah, abruptly stopped breathing on Monday afternoon. She was sitting at home alone in her she was panicking. She lost her cell phone, and she immediately felt any chance of calling 911 was gone. Not having a landline, she carried the baby outside while screaming for anyone to call 911. And across the street was 9-year-old Rocky and 10-year-old Ethan.
Yeah, okay, here's what we're going to do. I want you to lean back and cradle the baby's neck, you know what I'm saying?
They were tossing the football. The woman's cry initially scared the boys. They obeyed before going one more step further. Rocky said, I said, even if it's a burglar, we still have to help because it's the right thing to do.
Exactly.
As Ethan called police and waited on the ambulance outside, Mrs. Rome said that Rocky raced inside to her, a boy she had never met before, and realizing what was wrong, directed her what to do. He said, I told her to push on the baby's chest 5 to 10 times with only 2 fingers, tilt the baby's head back, plug the baby's nose, and breathe into the baby's mouth. Wow. And the mom managed to get the kid to come back around. Yeah, it's awesome. Apparently, the kid spent 2 nights in the hospital, was diagnosed with sleep apnea.
Wow.
That young.
Yeah.
Sleep apnea.
And it stopped breathing.
It's crazy, isn't it?
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah, you don't hear about that a lot.
How about this? A 9-year-old boy arrested and charged with armed robbery at a McDonald's last month was one of 4 people arrested Thursday night in connection with a carjacking incident.
So you have one 9-year-old saving a baby's life, and you have another one holding up a business.
A McDonald's. And then carjacking. Police said charges were denied.
I'm loving it.
The 9-year-old who was arrested for breaking out the window of a business in January, in addition to the armed robbery last month, the 9-year-old was released into the custody of the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services. He was in the car with 2 15-year-olds and a 14-year-old Thursday night when the 4 were arrested in a carjacking that took place. Police said the group pointed what looked like a rifle, but was actually a pellet gun, at the driver of a Pontiac Sunfire. The driver jumped out, and then they got in and took off.
Jeez.
A gang enforcement car saw the car coming down towards him, turned around and gave chase.
A little punk.
Ended a short time later, the 4 jumped out and tried to run, but police had converged on the chase, and the teens and 9-year-old were caught a short time later. The 9-year-old was among 3 people arrested in connection with a McDonald's robbery in early February. I've never heard of a kid that young involved in
Doesn't
stuff like
bode
that.
Well.
Unbelievable. Here's a story out of Chicago. For 3 or 4 years, a homeless man achieved the impossible. He found a cheap place to live on pricey Lakeshore Drive. Richard Dorsey lived under Lakeshore Drive in a wooden shack built into the beams and girders of the drawbridge that crosses the Chicago River.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, it was elaborate. Dorsey was recently evicted after another man arrested told police about the home under the bridge. When authorities went inside, they found an elaborate setup.
Here's my home theater.
That tapped into the bridge's electricity to power a television, microwave, space heater, and PlayStation video game system.
That's awesome.
There, Dorsey could relax.
Care to take a dip in the sauna?
Turn on a Chicago Bears game, invite friends over, and pop open some beers.
So he was tapping into the city power supply?
Into the power of the bridge.
Of the bridge.
Because it's a drawbridge.
Okay.
So the home had its quirks, because whenever he heard the bells that signaled the arms of the bridge would soon rise to let boats through, he held on as the bridge slowly pitched him forward. He said the first time it was scary. After that, it was almost like riding a Ferris wheel.
So how would he sleep?
I don't know. 2 other people also moved into the same area of the bridge.
Yeah, I'm so blatant.
And a number of wooden huts with sleeping quarters were built. Dorsey used blankets to camouflage the huts.
That's brilliant.
And he got away with it for a long time, yeah.
Dude, I'm so mad at that guy who ratted him out.
I know. Here's a guy that was, he found a way to get by. And he had a pretty good setup.
Hey, yeah.
Wouldn't it be cool if your first apartment had been in a drawbridge?
Right.
Police are calling a January burglary of a suburban home disturbing, not just because of the stolen goods, but because the young burglars killed goldfish to avoid, quote, leaving any witnesses.
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding what? Me?
I kid you not. A Nintendo game system, CD player, 30 video games, 30 DVDs, a BB gun, jewelry, and fire safe containing personal papers and photographs were stolen.
How much did you see, fish?
From the home. When the homeowners returned, not only did they find their belongings stolen, but they found their goldfish had been poisoned. Someone had poured hot sauce, mustard, ketchup, and spices into the fish tank.
Wait a second. There's bugs on the windowsill. Take care of them.
All 3 fish were dead. The teenagers were arrested for the burglary. And a 16-year-old involved with the incident reportedly told officers he didn't want to leave any witnesses, so he killed the fish.
Jesus Christ. 16, 9?
Yeah. The boys age 15, 16, and 17 allegedly targeted the home because it had been evacuated following a fire. Police called the goldfish killing disturbing, and the 16-year-old faces cruelty to animal charges in addition to residential burglary charge.
Whatever happened to going down to Mel's Diner to help in the Eisenhower rally?
And...
Oh, wait, that's the Happy Days episode.
And his 2 accomplices will be tried in juvenile court. No, it wasn't Mel's Diner. It was Arnold's.
Arnold's, right. Yeah.
Mel's was Alice, right?
That was an Alice, yeah.
And it was always Arnold's?
Arnold's, yep.
Okay.
And then Arnold's and Big Al's eventually when Al took over. All right, and there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file for you right now.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Do you want the most important purchase of your life to be based on your negotiating skills? Not the case at Steven Singer Jewelers. You are guaranteed to get the perfect price every day. They make the experience of buying an engagement ring easy with no BS. Check him out at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, you know that I go to Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spas. Whether you want a rejuvenating massage or a refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massage or facial start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Take a look around. You've seen all the people that have crowded not only inside the studio but outside as well on the other side of the production booth to watch what's going on because they are here to witness a band that is, well, they're the greatest metal band in the world. And they are promoting their latest album. It's called Lowering the Bar. Ladies and gentlemen, we give you Steel Panther! Welcome back to Philly, boys.
Thanks. It's you guys that broke us here in Philly, so we appreciate you doing it again.
It was a number of years ago, and I remember you guys were, obviously, you were a legend at that time, but sort of newer to this area. You had some concerns out of the gate. The place sold out, and it's been off and running ever since.
Yeah, it's been really good.
I have to say, you guys have really stepped up your legging game.
Thank you.
Yeah, they all look amazing. Yes. Yeah.
Color coordinated, too, as well.
So let's talk about the new album, Lowering the Bar. It just came out last month.
It's called Lower the Bar.
Lower the Bar. I'm sorry.
You see it behind you. It says Lower the Bar.
Oh, that's it.
that big screen behind you.
Listen, the first time
changing the name.
The first time they were here, I messed up the album. I thought
Steal the Feel.
Yeah, no. I thought it was Death to All But Metal, but it was actually that's a track from the album. So I have a history of effing things up.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, good for you.
like when it comes to lyrics, I always screw them up.
Yeah. But Lower the Bar. So you've got how many tracks on the album? There's I think 10 of them.
22
tracks.
You have to flip the CD over.
Yeah.
I think there's 11 secret tracks. You just got to let the CD play for about 2.5 hours and you'll get to them.
So there's a point at which it stops playing, and then if you wait around for 2.5 hours, an additional 11 tracks kick in?
Yep. Uh-huh. Yes.
You just wait for your drugs to kick in and the songs just start flowing.
There we go.
And if you wait till after the secret tracks, our secret tracks, then you get to a whole brand new Creed record.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So you're saying don't lift the needle up off the CD and let it
sit there.
Let it sit
there. It's always early here in Philadelphia, isn't it, you guys?
So is this tour going to take you guys around the world? Are you heading overseas, or are you just staying
in the US?
This
is the beginning of our world tour.
Is it really?
This is the first show tonight, starting off our 2017 world tour. So, this is great, dude.
Wow.
But what a way to start. It's going to be the first world tour by a heavy metal band in a bus we're not going to take any planes.
Whoa, really? God almighty, that's very, very bold.
We're taking a boat straight over.
The bus turns into a boat.
No boats, no planes, just taking a bus everywhere we go. And we'll get there somehow.
It's the first amphibious vehicle tour.
Nobody knows what that
means. Known to man.
So that is going to have to take a long time. I just knowing by the way those things travel, and they're not particularly
fast. No, the tires
go
fast.
On the land, yes.
God, the waters go fast.
Yeah.
It's going to take a long time in the water.
I tell you what, we don't have that many years left, but we are willing to take a chance and just rock the world in a boat.
I think it was Satchel, perhaps you were the one who was saying that just simply by the other bands dying, that you plan, that's how you will achieve the dominance you so richly deserve.
Absolutely. You know, if you live long enough, which any one of us could die of a liver failure or heart disease any minute, but if you live long enough, you're pretty much going to have to be a headliner at some point.
I think so.
Yep.
Because if Korn did it, why can't we? You know what I mean? You just stayed around long enough. You
know what I mean? Yeah, those guys are almost on their way out now, so we should be right next in line.
Are they sort of an inspiration?
Absolutely. Look at them.
That's kind of like hanging out at a frat party long enough, you might actually get laid.
Yeah, exactly. You know what that's like.
Just wait till everybody falls asleep and then just...
He was doing that last night, actually.
What is that?
Kind of creepy, but it felt good.
That eventually old buildings and hookers become respectable.
Yeah. Wow. Dun, da, da.
Why do you think our album's called Lower the Bar?
That's right.
Now, there was a little bit of a misunderstanding as to what exactly that meant. I understand that perhaps it was you, Lexi, that thought it was just a way to get shorter people up to the bar.
I'm not paying attention.
I like the candor. I like the candor.
Lexi, pay attention. We're on live radio in the morning.
I can hear you. I'm not listening to anybody else except you, Mike.
Thank you.
Oh, wow. Well, we did take his mirror away, so that's an issue.
Hey, did I understand you guys on April 2nd, you came out with a surprise release. It was a feminist album called Sexism Sucks Harder Than Your Mom.
I read that too.
Is there any truth to that?
I think that was an April Fool's that somebody came up with.
Okay. I didn't hear about it, which right. sucks because it was a killer album title.
Yeah. That is a great album title. God.
It sold more than Lower the Bar.
Michael, what was the inspiration on lyrics for Lower the Bar this time around? Did you take a departure from where you guys normally go? Or?
Well, I do the same thing I always do. You know, I go to the beach and just kind of chill out and relax, ride some waves, have some drinks, talk to some girls. And when these guys are done writing all the tunes, I come back to the studio. And sing whatever Satchel tells me to sing.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right. That is a beautiful understanding that you all have.
Well, he told me, he goes, look, you're going to be singing my songs, so I want you not to be stressed out or uncomfortable or nervous, because I get nervous easy. Yeah. So he sends me to the beach, I just chill out and relax, come back, and, you know, it's all good.
That's true. And the less he understands of the words, the better it is for all of us.
Okay. All right.
Because the content is so, like, deep, I just, like, get lost sometimes.
So we as the listener benefits by him being in the dark.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. All right.
So you have a hard time reading through the lines. And
I have a hard time reading. I'll be honest with you. Basically. I really do. I'm not joking.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, there are a hell of a lot of words. Yeah.
There's a lot of words in this song.
There are a lot of words.
But you did read the title of the record right. So I give it up for that.
Yeah, I didn't even get that right.
I know what it's like, man.
Yeah.
Frat parties and I can't read. It's crazy.
Wow. I was checking out a couple of the videos. I'm a fan of Poontang Boomerang.
Oh, yeah. Sweet, thanks.
Yeah, I thought that was a lot of fun. And is that your cat that's in the video, Michael?
Yeah, that's Poontang.
That's Poontang. His cat's name is Poontang.
I love it.
He's big now.
Is he?
Yeah, we shot the video a few months back, and he's really big. He actually got fat.
Really?
Yeah, I showed him a Motley Crue video, and he started eating more food. Stop eating!
It'll happen. Now, wow. You guys all stayed in solid shape. Do you all work out together? It's a Pilates, hot yoga. What are you doing?
Pilates?
Nobody knows what that means.
It's just group sex on the bus after the shows.
Right. It's great cardio.
It's rigorous. Cardio.
It's called core work.
It's called cocaine.
Cocaine. You can't say that in the morning.
You can say it.
There's a lot of people still doing it right now as listening to you here in Philadelphia. Yeah. Where it's always early.
Yeah, exactly.
Always it's early. Always early.
Always early in Philadelphia.
I'll never forget when you got up and jammed with us.
You know what?
Yeah. Other times.
The first time was at the TLA on South Street. I didn't even know, and Styx talked me into it. He's like, dude, you got to get up and play. I was like, all right.
It was killer.
That wasn't the way it was. You were blowing up our phones for like 2 weeks. Don't switch it around like we want. Oh, that's crazy.
I had to change my number.
I'm ready for you had your wife call me.
Tommy Tom Thompson.
That's right, man.
There it is.
Yeah, that was the one. That was at the TLA, man. That was fun.
That's good behind a gold drum set.
Dude, yeah. That was a beautiful drum kit.
And then you played the barbecue, too, right?
I did, and then I played with them at the Tower as well, which was a pretty badass show, too.
You're pretty much ready to go when Styx does.
I see what's happening. You know what? It's going to be switch the career day. I'm going to sit back there, and you rock with them.
I think that might be kind of fun.
We could do
that. Tom Thompson.
Thank you.
That was cool. That was a fun time, man. You're a good drummer, too, by the way.
Thanks, man. Really I appreciate good. That. Excellent.
It's really cool.
Well, listen, we'd love to hear a song. Are you going to play something from Lower the Bar, or are you going to play an oldie, or what do you want to do?
We're going to do a new one from Lower the Bar.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to try to remember all the words.
All right. Do your best.
Melodies.
What's the name of the song we're going to hear?
It's called That's When You Came In.
That's When You Came In?
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. Steel Panther, and they are live on the Preston and Steve Show. Here we go.
All right.
1, 2, 3, 4. Every night
I was ready to retire. Baby, moved to Mexico. Worn too many raucous parties. Worn too many skanky hoes. After all the critics said, my debut record was a beat. Now I couldn't hit the high notes. Sometimes I couldn't even speak. But the band I teach in Germany, just another way. That's when you came in and blew me. That's when you came in and blew me. That's when you came in and blew me away. Everybody sing it, I know the words. That's when you came in and blew me. That's when you came in and blew me. That's when you came in and blew me away. You blew.
Wow. 93.3 WMMR, and That's When You Came In is the track they played from Lower the Bar, their new album.
Thank you. We're so much better than we were last time we were here.
Oh, my God.
And you were damn good last time.
So thanks.
That's quite a thing to say.
We've been practicing a lot.
Yeah. Out at the beach?
Yeah.
Out at the beach.
And the lifespan, like, the band is maturing, and in the lifespan, would you guys say that,
old.
Would you guys say that the band has pubes now? Is that where you guys are?
No, we shaved all that.
Oh, yeah,
No, it already grew. We shaved.
I definitely sense a maturity in the lyrics and
a little deeper.
Yeah.
Well, you know, after a while, after being on the road for a while, you know, and you've been with so many different girls, it's nice to find someone that can actually, like, take your breath away.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Exactly. Yeah. That special someone.
It is. It's hard because, you know, on the road, it's just all, you know, skanky hoes and stuff. And that's cool for a while, but it's always nice to get, like, a teacher that's... On summer break, yeah.
On summer break, are you at that point where you, Michael, you think you're looking to perhaps find that special someone and settle down?
What are you, crazy man?
Come on, man.
Why would you settle down when you have such? I mean, we have a moving hotel. Why settle down?
I read that actually you had a bit of an injury not too long ago, Michael. You had a black eye after you hopped on and crashed a Razor scooter that belonged to the son of a woman that you hooked up with recently.
So. Yeah, that was really awkward.
Yeah,
yeah.
What, why were you riding a Razor scooter?
The fact that she had a kid, or the fact you were riding the Razor.
Well, I was just walking her to school with her mom, and she said, "Hey, you should ride it, Michael." I was like, "All right." And I got on it, and I ate it, and I immediately cut my face wide open.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I was really nervous because, you know, this is like the moneymaker for the band.
Sure.
It's definitely not your voice that's doing it.
No. Thank you. You got that right. Hey, I'll tell you what, though. The surgery was a total success. They gave me a facelift and fixed my eye. So it was like, it was great.
You should have taken some of the fat out of your cheeks and put it in your penis.
Can they do that?
Yeah.
Can they do that?
Yeah. Lexi did it.
Sign me up. Yeah.
It works, too.
Does it?
Now, Lexi, have you had the most... Well, I don't... This is probably not appropriate to ask, but have you had the most cosmetic surgery or no?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm paying attention now.
Once he heard surgery, he's like, what?
I get a deal? Exactly.
Well, you get a deal if you go to Mexico and get a facelift.
Yeah. And pills.
And pills, yeah.
It's just a cornucopia of things.
I don't know what nobody knows.
That's the title of our next record, actually, Mexican Facelift.
Mexican Facelift.
It's going to be fantastic.
Orale.
Orale, wakakaka.
Do you believe too much emphasis is placed on the actual degree in medicine?
You use big words all the time.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. It's my thing. So, yeah. But you have no problem going down there. I mean, medicine's medicine, and
well,
anyone can pick it up.
You can walk into a pharmacy in Mexico and just buy like 100 Viagra for like $6.
Which, trust me, we use a lot.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Well, now with your newly fattened up penis, where it's excellent, right?
Yeah, it is good. My mom likes it.
whoa, what did you say? What did you just say?
Well, I mean, when I got out of the shower, I was like, oh, son. Oh,
man, no. It sounded creepy when you first said
it. Oh, no, I didn't mean it that way. No. It's just I was walking past her in my towel fell off. She's like, oh, son. I was like, yeah.
Oh, your newly fattened penis is really nice.
Your hey, mom you know, said the same thing to me.
I know. Whatever.
Oh, dear.
I know. I know it's morning radio, and we apologize. But sometimes, you know, when you talk about real life, it freaks people out.
Well,
you
it's
know
uncomfortable,
I mean?
But you got to get real.
It can be.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but growing up in the trailer park, things are different for me, you know?
Yeah. It's a trailer park life. Yeah.
Have you thought about writing a book about
this
your...
house has wheels on it.
Yes, we've thought about writing books.
Yes.
But it's hard. When it's hard to read, it's hard to write books.
That's true.
It's so true. Yeah. It's so true.
I didn't even think about that.
I was thinking about calling Slash and asking him who wrote his book.
Yeah.
Because I know he can't read either.
Oh.
So I was like, you know, maybe if they could write a book, just put all the words in it, mm-hmm. and then somebody could read it to me and make sure it's cool.
Speaking of Slash, you guys are beloved, other musicians, and they'll mm-hmm. come and play with you occasionally when you do your appearances. Who has blown you away in the
oh,
vernacular?
We just that's
there
funny.
You go in the recent appearances. What to, who is a big fan of yours? Who has revealed themselves to be a huge Steel Panther fan of late?
Wow. Lately,
yeah,
lately,
man,
of late.
That's a really good
of
question.
Smaller words he's using now. We should start this out.
I tried to.
The lead singer for, what's that band? The Rolling Stones.
The Rolling Stones.
Oh, yeah. That guy.
Well, not Mick Jagger. There's a Rolling Stones tribute out in L.A.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That
he's
guy.
A big fan.
He's
Mike Jagger.
Mike Jagger's a fan.
Who sounds exactly like if
well,
you didn't,
really?
If you didn't have eyes, you would think, oh, this is awesome.
This is awesome.
I'm getting here for it's cheaper.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, cheaper. You're getting the Stones for cheaper. So, exactly.
You're saying Mike Jagger's close enough to...
Joe M. got up. A good buddy of mine, Joe.
Joe okay. M.?
Joe M.?
Yeah. Who's that? It's a guy. I can't pronounce his last name because it's too
Jerome.
Confusing.
Oh, Manganiello.
Jerome.
Oh,
Manganiello. That's
Manganiello.
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. We played his birthday party.
Yeah.
Oh.
And we met his wife.
Yeah. It was so uncomfortable because his wife was all over
Sophia
me.
Vergara.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. I didn't want to say her name out loud, but she was all... Now, up in my jock.
Really?
Yeah, she wanted the business.
I felt bad for Joe because it was like, oh, come on. I know Joe's really hunky and a lot of girls like him. But
Joe was so jealous he took his shirt off to show us his abs.
I know. I was like, dude, put your shirt back on. You're embarrassing yourself. Oh, my God.
Was Pee Wee Herman there? Because he's good.
He was there. Yeah. Right? I talked to Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah, right?
I was like, don't touch me, man.
I don't want to brag, but Pee Wee Herman was all over up in my jock.
Yeah. Yeah. Was he
it was
really?
Crazy.
Wow.
I was like, well, Pee Wee, put your suit back
there
on.
There it is.
There you go, man.
Whoever's doing social media is fast over here.
So fast.
That oh is God. Cool, man, because actually Joe Manganiello is in that Pee Wee Herman Netflix film.
Yeah, I saw that movie. It was a good movie, too.
That was a fun party.
Yeah.
It was good.
Cool. Hey, what does it cost to hire Steel Panther?
$35.
$35? Okay.
Whoa. Case of beer, too.
Case of beer.
Yeah, and right. Canned beer.
And Joe, let me tell you something. Obviously, Joe is very successful. You know, he's one of those guys that I can't stand him because he's like, he's great looking. He's got killer abs. He's a great actor.
Thank you.
And you know, the only thing I can say about him, that fortunately, is that he's a horrible person.
He's a horrible person.
Yeah. And he lies all
very
the time.
Mean.
He lies.
And he hurts people.
Liar. And he steals.
Wow.
Yeah, I couldn't find any of our guitar chords afterwards.
Totally hot wife, totally cute dude, totally talented, but guess what? He's not the bass player in Steel Panther, so he doesn't have that going for him,
that's
right?
That's right.
Doesn't
Lexi
have that
Fox.
Lexi Fox on bass.
Yeah.
Lexi Fox, you're beautiful. You're beautiful.
You can say more.
For those who aren't familiar with the lineup of Steel Panther, we have Satchel is the one who was just speaking, lead
Thank
guitarist,
you.
and I guess you're the
pretty much the main guy.
You're the main guy in the band. Best name in rock and roll, Stick Zadinia is the drummer.
Hey,
of
can
Steel
I just
Panther.
Make? I just want to point something out. You're probably the first guy in many years to pronounce his name correctly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm not kidding, man.
You can't do album titles, but
Tom Thompson knows what's up.
Most people say sticks it in ya, and it's not sticks it in ya. That's like a stupid innuendo. It's sticks Zadinia.
Zadinia.
Yes, it's Hungarian.
From Italy.
Does it mean anything in Hungarian?
He's from Italy.
Big fattened penis.
Well Hungarian.
So you're from the Hungarian area of Italy?
Yes. I'm from the southern corner of the Hungarian zone in the Italian province.
It's actually the Hungarian zone.
Yes.
And on lead vocals, it's Michael Starr, for those who may not be familiar.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Steve was mentioning other you know, members of bands that are fans of yours. I know a while back, Chad Kroeger sang on
yeah,
your album. And
Chaz.
Sang on a song called
one
of my all-time favorite titles, which is It Won't Suck Itself.
Ah, that's a good song.
Yeah, it is a good song.
You know who else got up with us? Is that singer Miles Davis. From Alter Bridge?
Miles Kennedy.
Miles Kennedy, yeah, he got up with us.
Miles Davis is dead.
Yeah. He's dead, yeah.
He died?
Yes.
He died.
That was no, Miles Kennedy's still alive.
Oh, thank God. His voice is so high and sweet. I was like, don't die.
He sounds like an angel, right? That's why you think he's dead.
Yeah, he's good. And also, who else?
He confused people a lot. He thinks that Neil Armstrong is the trumpet player.
Oh.
Yeah. That's a different guy.
Look at the picture. That's us singing together, me and Miles Davis.
It's you and Miles Davis.
It sure looks like
you
Miles
Davis. You and Miles
Davis,
the first man to walk on the moon.
See, look at the halo around his head.
That was
that's
Lance
why
Armstrong.
Lance Armstrong, the first man to walk on the moon.
Big halo.
Oh, my God, dude.
Can we get another song out of you?
Hell yeah.
You can't get rid of us.
That's right.
We're like herpes.
Coming back.
Let's do an oldie but a goodie. This song went to number 2 on the rock charts in Guam.
Ah, in Guam. Excellent.
It's a big deal in Guam.
Steel really Panther on MMR.
You want to do this? You want to start it?
Oh, we're doing that one?
Which one do you want to do?
Let's...
How many number one songs in Guam do we have?
We have 3 number one songs.
Which one do you want to do?
Well, we can do that one. That's fine.
Which one do you want to do?
I think I'm warmed up to do that one.
Let's do whatever you want.
Let's do that
Just start it because we're running out of time.
Okay. This is a very high song for me to sing, so wish me luck. Here
Don't
we go.
Don't make any excuses.
Good luck,
Mike. I will give you the stars in the sky, but they're too far away. If you you're the only girl that I like to screw when I'm on the road. When I come home, my dinner's made and the front lawn is mowed. I'll kiss your mouth even after my rocket explodes. 'Cause my heart belongs.
Panther.
Thank you guys for having us, man.
Of course, man. I mean, you guys are welcome back here anytime at all. I'm an unofficial member of the band.
That's right. You're welcome to get up and jam with us. Actually, we've been looking for a new drummer.
Whoa. Not cool, bro.
Not cool.
Not cool.
Sorry, I forgot. But pizza's killer.
Excuse me. Breakfast pizza.
Yeah. And don't forget, you know, our new record, Lower the Bar, is out. You can pick it up on iTunes. Or you can get Lowering the Bar.
Here in Philadelphia.
Which
in
is tough.
Where it's always early.
That's the live record.
Tom Thompson's new solo record.
Lowering the Bar is a live record.
Yeah.
But seriously, you can pick it up on iTunes, Amazon, and you can get it at Best Buy, too. It's a special packaging. Comes with two extra songs. It's pretty cool packaging.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, don't forget to pick it up. Don't forget to go to our website, steelpantherrocks.com.
That's right. And if you come backstage at our show tonight, we've got special packaging for you as well.
Because of those pills we get down in TU on.
Wow.
And I got new spandex. Stop talking, stick.
Well, listen, Lower the Bar now, Lowering the Bar later, the live album. Look for that. So thank you to Lexi and Styx and Michael and Satchel. Ladies and gentlemen, Steel Panther.
Thank you, everybody.
Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger begins Monday, November 26th at Xfinity Live. The Business Challenge is such a big part of Camp Out, and props to Subaru of America for leading the way in challenging other companies to get involved and make a difference. Heritage Business Systems, your authorized Canon copier dealer, is encouraging any size business, large or small, to donate. One business will be selected at random to receive a Canon full-color copy, print, and scan image runner advance. It's a 36-month lease with service from Heritage. The Preston and Steve live broadcast from your place of business is still up for grabs for the largest donation. Go to WMMR.com/campout for a list of especially needed food items and all business challenge details.
Steve sent me an article that is... And I've heard of these things before, but some of them I've never really come across.
There's one in particular in this list, Preston, that I'm like, okay, I've never heard of that.
The title of the article is Weird Ways People Can Orgasm That Have Nothing to Do with Sex.
Is Bill going to be nervous about this?
No, Bill knows, so. Though. No. Bill, we're the fourth leg of the stool.
No, I don't think he'll care.
Okay.
So some of these you may have heard of. But others are very out of the ordinary. So we'll begin with this, and we'll go down the list here. Bill will probably be more angry that I'll do the list in order. Number 10, the miracle of life, childbirth.
Oh, that's right. I stuccoed the entire operating room when my kids were born.
No, it's not you.
Not you.
It's her.
I've heard that
that's
before.
Right.
Yep.
I don't know.
That
men
orgasm
but...
during birth?
No. Women.
Yeah.
Yes. The whole area. I mean, you're basically passing a VW through your cooter there.
How could that not be enjoyable? Something's
going to get brushed.
Mm-hmm. Brushed. They do say some women, even though childbirth can be quite painful, some women can experience a complete sense of orgasmic pleasure during the process. As a matter of fact, 6% of women surveyed said they experienced it while having a baby.
Do some women fake orgasm during birth?
Oh, my God.
Wait, how many percent, Preston?
6.
Okay.
It's a small amount, but it does happen.
Gives you something to look forward to. Mm-hmm.
I want to ask a question, and I have no idea how to ask it.
I would try Hebrew.
No. But it has to do with this and a sexual act that Steve's friend often sees on Pornhub, and it's this.
With one's defiant fist.
Oh, black power.
Black power.
Yeah.
The black power move. Would that be equated to childbirth?
No.
God, I have no idea.
In reverse?
No, that's not real. Like, I don't think real people do that.
Oh, no, sure real people do. Yeah, do it. I can show you hours of video proof.
Video, but not... No.
No, real people Kathy, don't do it. Yes, no. there are so many...
You have no idea.
There's so many things that some people, you know what, you would find absolutely repulsive that it actually does it for them.
Preston, I'm gonna go for a walk with Kathy right
okay,
now.
Okay, please do.
We have to talk about some things.
Well, even if it's a small percentage, like this, you just said 6% for childbirth, right? Mm-hmm. Roughly. So what if it's like 3% that enjoy black power stuff? You know, like that's.
And by the way, it means
the fist.
Holding up your fist.
Yeah, right. Defiantly.
Anyhow.
Making a political statement while providing pleasure.
I don't know. Here's another one. Now, we've talked about this one before. Working out, exercising can cause women achieve that.
It's ab workouts.
And actually, we brought in a device years ago where for the leg raises. Yeah. And women were having, we tried it on two women who did not get aroused. But yet, that anything ab or core
yeah.
that's done
I told you that thing that we hang from. That's what we brought in. What is that called? That you hang from and you do
the labia deck.
No, not that. That's not what it's called.
Okay.
Anyway, no, I easily see how that could happen. That's how we brought up the.
Do you feel a tingle yourself?
Yes, yeah. I do. And Tim Graham's friend. Anytime she does ab workouts. That's what happens.
You know what I find? I can't get on the fisting machine at my gym.
It's completely different.
And you always, and no one towels it off.
It's not real.
But yes, any, for example, Kathy, the leg raises, that device where you put your arms down and you raise your legs up and tuck them in, that's where a lot of women report pleasure. This, we automatically assume this is women. Have you ever felt aroused working out? No, I just
want to stop whenever I'm working out. Nothing motivates me to keep going. But yes, the corgasm occurs more often in women.
Yeah.
The constant release of endorphins is what causes the intense pleasure. Not only does a good workout, is it excellent for your body, but it's great for your libido as well. Now I have had the endorphin rush.
And
about an hour afterwards,
yes.
It's wonderful.
It's fantastic.
It's like a glow, but I've never... Oh, God.
Have you ever used the holes in the weight plates?
That's not what they're
no.
for.
Okay. Because I have. I use two 45s and a 20.
Right.
That gets it done.
Parkinson's pleasure.
I've heard of this.
Wow.
Parkinson's disease is a condition that can limit mobility and affect people's lifestyles. There is one drug for Parkinson's that has been known to cause spontaneous orgasms. Parkinson's drugs aren't the only pills that have been known to create sexual euphoria. It says here, read about another on number 7, which is next. So here we go.
Is this only for women, by the way?
We just said, though, predominantly it's women that experience this that are more likely to encounter orgasms this way. In fact, I don't think they even mention men in this.
There may be. So anyhow, being depressed, this says not so depressing. Being depressed can take a negative toll on your sex life. This much is understood. If your doctor prescribes medication to help with depression, it can also help push you over the peak of climactic pleasure. Prozac, Zoloft, and Wellbutrin are the drugs that people have reportedly said cause them to have that happen.
Well, that's surprising because in some people, myself included, it can prohibit crossing the finish line.
Yeah, but there are some drugs where they'll do the opposite of what they say. I mean, like Benadryl, you think you give your...
What are you talking about? listening. Hey, Siri, repeat.
Some people will give that to their kids so that they can, knock them out so they'll be going a long drive or whatever.
Others don't use it for that at all.
But sometimes it does the exact opposite. They can end up becoming hyper off of it as well.
Hey,
so,
Preston, what's Benadryl actually used for?
What is Benadryl used for?
Allergy. Allergy?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Never really read the box.
So anyhow, here's one called the conditional climax. There is actually a disorder that causes people to have a sudden need for sexual pleasure, and it can also happen more than once a day. The condition is called persistent genital arousal disorder.
Persistent genital arousal disorder. PGAD.
Yes. Yeah, PGAD.
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 Even sudden frights can cause you to finish as well.
I know someone years ago who claimed that a friend's girlfriend claimed that like haunted attractions and things of that nature.
Yes.
It was sexually arousing?
Sexually arousing.
Yeah, it's called scared sexuality. Most of the time when people are scared, they lose their libido. Some people who experience a certain level of fear and anxiety can be scared into spontaneous orgasm. Hmm.
Which we have a whole bunch of haunted locations coming up over the next couple of weeks. So
come on out.
We'll see you there.
One person was driving through a sketchy neighborhood and got so stressed after a few seconds, her body felt an overwhelming amount of pleasure, and she was throbbing, it says here.
Honey, let's drive through Chester.
Yeah.
Hey, what was the reasoning behind when you would, like, climb a rope when you were younger, climbing a rope or climbing a pole?
Rub against you?
Yeah.
No, it's not even
to get aroused in front of the gym class?
No, it wasn't a rubbing thing. It was the squeezing. I don't even...
What? Did that happen to you?
Yeah. What exactly are we talking here?
I'll tell you what.
Did you get aroused climbing a rope?
No, I didn't get aroused.
Okay.
There was a sensation that was like amazing that happened. And I cannot be the only one because Garth Algar says to Wayne,
like when I used to
climb the rope in
gym
school.
Class.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, I guess I'm not the only one.
I always thought that joke was
because the rope between the legs.
Yeah, the rope's going between your legs and it's rubbing up against your stuff.
No, no. I mean, I had a full on, but like, kind of like.
You had a full on.
Kind of like you, Steve, how like, you know.
Yeah.
It's just air.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, I was younger, so there's nothing.
Like when you adjust your sleep number.
Right.
Was this pre puberty?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So. You had the sensation, but yeah, there was nothing. There was no
evidence
left in your
no right yogurt.
Pants. So you know how our sensation only lasts for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
this it was like a long time,
like tantric.
It was a marathon. Yeah.
How come you're not a mountain climber at this point?
I mean, right,
because it went away at a certain point.
Really?
Believe me, I was climbing a lot of poles when I was a kid.
What do you want to do? Let's go climbing. I was starting a new club. Jumping club is over. Climbing club has just begun.
Yeah.
I'm the president.
I cannot be the only one.
Here's some people saying, same here with the rope. Hard to explain what he means. Wait, hard to explain, but I know what he means. Elementary school.
A sense of euphoria? Are you feeling it in your crotch?
Yeah, Steve.
Yeah, like a full-on O.
Full-on O, and it lasted a lot longer than they last now. And
can I ask you, something?
And I didn't have to go home and change
anything. May I ask you something? Have you ever had something similar to it from the tingle of a bike seat?
No.
Okay. Because I have had.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you take the seat off and you just...
what else we have here? This is oral pleasure, but it's not talking about what you think it is. There are a select few people who have had orgasms while brushing their teeth.
Have you ever heard of this?
Kathy, this is right up your alley.
Clean. Everything's clean.
That's why your teeth are so clean. Kathy's teeth are beautiful.
They are. They are. And clearly we know why. So.
Back molars.
I posted a picture on Instagram this weekend of me and my two brothers, and somebody just put, those are nice teeth. Yeah. All three of us have these white smiles.
There's a woman in Taiwan who says that she has a seizure and then a euphoric feeling every time she cleans her pearly whites.
Waking up would have a whole new level of excitement.
Yeah. Now, here's another thing. This is number three on the list, a groomgasm. It says hard to believe you can climax when taking care of your looks. Some people are afflicted with autonomous sensory meridian response. That's me, ASMR.
Okay, so what happens?
Which gives a pleasurable feeling when you're getting a haircut. Oh. We can all relate to having a sexual simulation of the head, and it just takes it a step further.
When you get a haircut, no, it's a different thing because it's not that. It's the syncopation of a sound you're hearing. Correct.
Yeah, it's part of it. Yes, it's sounds that cause you to get this reaction. But mine is never, ever
orgasmic,
sexual in nature. It's just relaxing. It's it's euphoria on a different level.
Well, you're missing out on the boner then.
I know, man. I got gypped in this deal. All right, here's another one. Says nerves not so damaged, although it might get a little annoying. Some people have work done on the nerves of their feet.
Yeah.
As their feet healed, they would experience random orgasms throughout the day as they touched, rubbed, and walked on their feet.
Have you ever known someone whose feet were so sensitive they claimed that they were?
No.
Yeah.
But I know a foot rub feels pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And that's all.
Especially when
to
it's
it.
On your balls.
It's a lot of text coming in. Backing Casey up.
This one says, I know exactly what Casey is talking about. Same thing.
The rope thing, huh?
From climbing poles as a kid. And that's from Michelle.
Yeah. So like the swing set down at the park around the corner from my house, you know, it had a slanted pole and you would climb up it. I'm telling you, like it was just intense.
That kid never gets off that thing. I'm going to be out all afternoon.
Playing is fun.
So it's got to touch like the same area of your brain
that controls your balls.
No. That's just it's before it's developed via puberty to sexual response, right? Like there's got
to
be some.
It would have to be that, and we all know that we have now begun the journey. The ride guard is over, and you're going up the roller coaster. That sort of it's now out of your hand. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Feeling.
Yeah. Huh. All right, here's
we need a rope in here.
This is Casey when he got to the top of the rope.
Ah, sweet mystery of life. life at last I found thee.
And he just hung there all day long.
Wow.
All right.
I missed out.
That's a real shame. I feel bad for you guys.
You what, Casey?
I feel bad for you guys because it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was
Was it better than anything? I mean, have you had
equal? I have never had one.
Why don't you have a tire swing in your bedroom?
Yeah, right.
And it was just the one time?
No. It was several times.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Can we climb ropes? We're going to play softball today. No, can we climb ropes?
Do you think it would still affect you now?
I don't think so. I've tried.
Of course you have.
Yeah. Did you ever have anything like that, Preston? No. I never did.
No, I accidentally had one time.
Accidentally?
Yeah.
At what age?
I'll explain.
I was 28. You're with a prostitute.
No, I was probably in like sixth grade or something. I'll never forget it. I'm sitting there. I'm watching TV, and I was wearing shorts that were really loose. And as we are guys, our hand just finds its way down.
Yeah.
And I'm just doing
it. I'm doing it right now.
And, yeah, exactly. I actually have to. Yeah. Wow.
To Preston.
Anyway, so I was, man, how can I say this delicately?
You were fidgeting.
I was
fidgeting. Were using your own personal fidget spinner.
But I didn't realize that I was rubbing something up against my leg.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept doing it without really paying attention. I'm watching TV, and all of a sudden the sensation hit me. I'm like, oh, my God, I just did that, and I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know where exactly what you mean.
The titmouse loves to burrow in soft grass.
I was sitting on the couch watching television.
All right, okay.
Nobody was around, but I had a blanket over me, and I just, I'm like, dear God, I just did that.
Henry Ford revolutionized mass production.
It was a total accident. And it's the one and only time it's ever happened by accident in my life. Let me go to...
Can I go to school?
I'm going to go to James. Hi, James. Good morning.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? What's up, James?
Yeah, it's crazy. I just turned you guys on. I heard Casey Boy was talking about climbing poles and everything and kind of like having like an experience.
Yeah.
Dude, I thought I was the only one because... Between the ages of, like, first grade to, like, fifth, my parents always wondered, why the hell is this kid climbing all these damn ropes?
They must have thought you were Tarzan.
James, this happened for years?
Dude, years. And honestly, like, you know, when you're that old, you don't really know what's going on down there.
Yeah.
But it was just like, what's that sound effect?
Yeah. So, James, you've never told anybody this?
No, because I was embarrassed, like... Like, well, I don't know how you're supposed to explain that to your parents or your friends.
All right,
like,
so, you know? James, let me try to get the context. Or not the context, but Casey seems to suggest it was, not only was it profound, it lasted for a while. Is that what you felt?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that's pretty accurate, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it wasn't like, 5 seconds or anything like that.
Exactly, and there was no, like, you know, goo to clean up afterwards, obviously.
Right.
You're so young, but at that age,
especially you're up on a rope, it'd be like some bizarre sprinkler system.
Right.
So here, I want to tell you guys something. My friend's little brother used to watch TV like this. Now, let me go over to the other side of the room so you can. Because
I'll describe it. Come on over.
In hindsight, I'm pretty sure this is what he was doing. This was his version of
the rope climb
of climbing a rope, right?
Okay.
Because
all right, Casey's going to walk around to the other side of the studio.
Is this going to end with completion?
No, TV's right here. Right? Okay. TV's
there.
Normal people.
Oh, I can't see him.
So Casey's showing, laying prone down with his chin on his fist.
This is how normal people will watch TV, right?
Right.
This is how my friend's little brother will watch it. I'm not even lying.
Okay. Oh, all right. So he's done in what are they like? Almost like a yoga position.
Yeah, that's Cobra, right, Kathy?
Cobra. So with his
dog.
What's up, dog?
What's up, dog?
He's arching his back up so that your groin is really pressed against the floor.
That is a lower back stretch that I have to do because of my herniated disc. That's exactly what you're doing. So.
Yeah, I think in hindsight, that
you think he was getting off?
Yeah, I think so.
That's called crouching boner.
Yeah. I don't know. There's no movement in that.
There was. Oh, so...
Or would he rock back and forth?
He would sit on a paint mixer.
You're misunderstanding the whole climbing the rope thing. You would get to a point where you were climbing the rope or the pole, and then you just stay there.
Interesting.
You would just stay there. It wasn't
you want to try it over here,
Preston? It was the clasping and grasping motion
Something similar, and I'm going to show you guys. And you
come make love to the floor over here, Preston.
A friend of mine used to do this, and you guys tell me if you think that this was Casey. He would get down like this.
Okay.
All fours would go like this.
Okay.
Now, do you think that was sexual?
TV, and I
think that to me, so that looks like sex.
Oh.
But he didn't even know what sex was back then.
That's definitely what he was doing.
And the parents were cool with that?
Yeah, well, they just thought he was watching TV.
Come on. Sesame Street's on.
Oh, my God.
So, listen, there are more people calling up. Hang on a second here. Let me go to Adam. Hi, Adam. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Great. I didn't ask how you were, but go ahead.
He's climbing a rope right now, I bet you.
All right, what did you want to tell us, man?
Yeah, when I was about 7 years old, in my parents' basement, I used to climb poles a bunch of times, and one time my mom called me, and she asked me why I was doing that, and I told her I got a funny feeling down there.
Oh, God.
She gave me the talk.
So your mom had to have you're climbing the rope too much talk?
Oh, it was kind of the sex talk.
Okay.
Again. And then that translated into pillows and back massagers.
Sure. You little pervert. So yeah. you had a rope in your... That was basically...
No, it was a pole, like a support beam.
Oh,
okay.
And they actually built squares around them, too. I don't know if that was a reason for looks. Or
they ended up boarding it up.
They put a condom on it.
They put wood around it.
They put a condom on it.
Do it anymore. But wait a minute. What's this about pillows and massagers?
Oh, yeah. Once they kind of build the frames around it, I kind of would take pillows.
Oh, no.
And do the same thing to that.
Okay. All right.
And then back massager, you just hold it on there.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Adam. You were a go-getter.
Jesus.
I didn't go that far.
All right. Let me go to...
you have a massive erection.
Spencer. Hi, Spencer. Good morning.
Hey, what's up? You guys are out.
Thanks, man. Go ahead, buddy. What you got?
It's the same thing as the last two people. I know what Casey's talking about. Like, it seemed like it lasted for a long time. And it was only when I was in, like, I don't know, second grade when I could actually climb a rope.
So, Spencer, do you believe that because it is at such an early age and these feelings are so new to you that they're a little bit more euphoric?
Yeah. I mean, it was probably the most intense, one of the most intense feelings I've ever felt. It was weird.
Do you feel robbed the way I do?
Thanks, man.
I climbed countless ropes in school, and nothing happened.
Yeah, I never got anything out of that. Never.
Well.
Not one time.
I've never had a nocturnal emission, so, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I had those all the time when I was a kid.
Yeah. Really?
Like fifth and sixth grade.
You had a rope in your bedroom?
No.
You slept on a rope?
I had the NEs. The nocturnal emissions. And for me, that was my first introduction to sex.
Okay. But here, well, in fact, the last one on this list as far as...
I missed those, by the
way. Non-sexual things that you can finish off with. It says turning in and getting off. And that's right. It says that you can't orgasm while you sleep. And we're not talking about sexual wet dreams. Your body goes into a deep state of REM. It's rapid eye movement. It increases blood flow to your genital region. Your brain tells your body about the increased flow, which can increase it further, resulting into that happening while you sleep.
Amazing. Wow. Amazing. But that to me has more of a regular sexual connection, whereas things like brushing your teeth aren't necessarily orgasmic.
Yeah.
But as far as the wet dream thing goes, man, my body would just not allow me to ever finish that.
No.
It would get up to, all right, it's going to happen, and then, why don't you wake up now?
You can't believe
what?
The encounters I had that never took place.
Felt so real.
And the results would be real. I mean, it would be real.
Okay.
I mean, it would, you know, I would get my plaque to certify that it happened. it's an amazing thing that what your body and what your mind can convince you is actually happening. But I wonder if it is the physical reaction is creating in your mind. Your mind is supplying a false scenario for it to make sense to you.
Mm-hmm.
Or does the false scenario in your mind
come from when the blood flow started?
Boom.
And yeah. I don't know. It's a chicken and egg.
Chicken and egg. I like both that chicken and egg.
Let me go to Justin. Hi, Justin. Good morning.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? What's up, Justin?
Hey, so
Yeah, back in elementary school, it was probably about first grade. I have this coach, and he's yelling at me to get to the top of the rope. And all of a sudden, I'm starting to feel this just, like, euphoric feeling down there. And I got to say, as soon as the coach is yelling at me, I'm like, dude, I'm going to go. All right. This is awesome. So I finally reached the top. But, man, this also happened when I was running. Too.
When you were running, all right. So wow. Casey says that at the rope O isn't necessarily occurring while there's motion.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was just, I don't know. It's hard to explain. I was just not even sure what the heck was going on at
sure.
the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd love to be able to not explain an experience. Like it sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So wait, when you were running, like as a younger you, or like as a now
yeah,
you?
As a younger me.
Okay. Yeah. So both in about the same age range.
I would say that it stopped going with the rope probably at about third grade, and then when it came to running, that was probably when it started there.
Wow, man,
interesting.
There's a whole aspect of life that I missed out on completely.
Yeah, but, you know, we can't all be quite so lucky.
Everyone can't be a rope climber.
No. But I found this odd, and these are a lot of different scenarios that don't involve, you know, contact or anything like that, but you can have it happen if you're lucky.
Lucky rope climber.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Interesting Casey, article. Get down off that rope.
No,
I'm having fun.
Somebody texted and said his parents became concerned when he named his rope Eric Lindros.
He didn't think that was funny.
He didn't think that was very funny at all.
I can't believe a rope is calling my phone.
Eric Lindros wasn't even a household name.
I never thought Eric Lindros would be calling my phone.
No. Do your research, folks.
The MMR mobile app. Use it to grab the MMR live stream and MMR audio on demand, including the Preston and Steve podcast. Bring up the live studio webcam, too. The MMR app is Android Auto and Apple CarPlay compatible, and it's free.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
The Bizarre File is brought to you by Heritage Business Systems. The document imaging equipment solution is Heritage Business Systems. Service, satisfaction, reliability. That's Heritage Business Systems, your authorized Canon copier dealer.
I love this story. There's nothing cool about the dark side of the Force. In fact, it's blazing hot, but is it hot enough to get into the Guinness Book of World Records? Jonathan Rice hopes so, and he backed up that hope on Sunday with a run through 129-degree Death Valley in a Darth Vader suit.
Jesus.
Oh, complete with mask and cape.
129-degree Death Valley.
Yeah, it started
Doesn't Death Valley hold the record for the hottest temperature in the Guinness Book of World Records?
I believe so, yeah.
On the planet.
It started in 1996 when Rice visited Death Valley, California with a friend and was won over by the beauty and the challenge of what's called heat running. He had the friend drive ahead a mile and a half, even a mile or so he could run and catch up to him.
Hello, my friend. Let's make this a competition.
Bane versus Darth in heat running in Death Valley. Heat running became a regular hobby. After a while, he said even Death Valley became too easy. He needed to raise the bar.
Your mask encumbers you, while mine gives my head room to breathe.
A black heat-attracting costume would do it, he decided, especially one with a face mask to prevent him prevent the limited cooling that comes from a runner's own breath. So Rice said Darth Vader it was, and that was about 3 years ago. Now it's starting to draw a crowd. In addition to his friend who plays Princess Leia, a handful of other runners and fans show up as R2-D2, Yoda, or other denizens of a galaxy far, far away. This year's support driver was Chewbacca, by the way. And Rice does...
How's that heat stroke, Chewbacca?
He does longer bouts of heat running. The Darth Valley Challenge is always a one-mile sprint, he says, done as rapidly as possible. Sunday, he ran it in about 6 minutes and 36 seconds.
Darth Valley.
In Death Valley, in a Darth Vader costume, 6:36 mile is pretty damn good.
We should do the Bainted Desert.
The Bainted Desert. Running through the Painted Desert is
just
Bane.
As Bane.
I love
That'll
it.
Be our competition.
A progressive insurance snapshot device. You've seen these commercials.
Yes, yeah.
in a 28-year-old man's car helped clear him in the suffocation death of his 7-month-old daughter.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, Michael Beard, facing 15 years to life in prison, was acquitted Monday of murder, felonious assault, and child endangering charges by a jury that deliberated for just an hour after hearing 4 days of testimony. Prosecutors have maintained that Beard had suffocated the baby, Lanaya Beard, at her home while Lanaya's mother was sleeping, but the defense attorney presented evidence from the Progressive Casualty Insurance Company snapshot device in Beard's car that showed Beard had turned off the car at 4:44 a.m. and turned it back on 3 minutes later, and in those 3 minutes, he had discovered that the baby wasn't breathing in her infant swing, awakened her mother, and returned to the car to rush his daughter to the hospital.
Okay.
So this had cleared him. There were some inconsistencies initially in his story that caused police to suspect him, but it turns out it wasn't the case, and that this proved that that he wasn't guilty.
Yeah, sad though, he loses a daughter. He's got to go through
horrible,
the trial.
Horrible, yeah. It was the first time that the snapshot device has been used in a criminal trial, but it was. A Florida woman is in jail on Tuesday after being charged with felony battery for allegedly kissing a police officer on the nose. What?
Did you see the face on this chick?
Now I understand why it's felony battery.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It looks like she's wearing a prosthetic alien mask because she's got like a bizarre forehead thing going on.
Yeah, it's kind of like if Mickey Rourke were in drag.
Yeah.
Deputies were called to the home of a 62-year-old woman named Peggy
Mickey
Hill.
Mickey Rourke would be hotter.
After a dispute with a neighbor about a fence between their properties, the report claimed that Sergeant Randy Lamb was speaking to Hill when she approached him and kissed him on the nose against his will.
I'm going to kiss you.
He stepped away from her, wiped off the saliva from his nose. Attempted to take her into custody, and she started to struggle with him. Hill explained to the officers that the neighbors had been arguing over chicken wire on the fence.
Chicken wire? Your face looks like a smashed ass.
She reportedly told police that she had about 3 glasses of wine before they arrived on the scene.
Did you smash them over your face?
She admitted that that the thought just popped into her head to kiss him on the nose, so she kissed him on the nose.
She really has, if you've ever watched Star Trek The Next Generation,
yeah.
She's got like, or Deep Space Nine, she has a Bajoran nose. Anyone who's a geek out there would know what I'm talking about.
She advised that she was not...
It Bajors all over her face.
...to be aggressive towards him, and obviously she was busted for that. And we'll just we'll wrap up things there.
That's our
file, my friends.
Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
It's brought to you by Primo Hoagies. Score big when you serve Primo Hoagie trays on game day. Primo Hoagies, it's not just a hoagie, it's a Primo. PrimoHoagies.com.
All right, what do you have for us today, Steve?
Well, Rihanna has inexplicably gone gray, adding gray streaks to her long, flowing brown hair. Rihanna's told friends she likes look so much, she's going to start drawing liver spots on herself.
Hey!
17-year-old rapper Chief Keef has been failing to pay $2,600 in child support to the mother of a kid he fathered when he was just 15. Whoa. Keef says worrying about his 2-year-old and his ex is really making it difficult for him to study for his permit test. Yeah. And finally, Jason Sudeikis says vigorous sex with the stunning fiancée of his, Olivia Wilde, has helped him shave off weight and feel great. He also revealed that gold coins often fall out of his 2-foot penis.
Oh, my God.
That's your Hollywood chart.
Wow. Hey, this was a really messed up story. There's a kid, a 16-year-old kid in South Carolina. He died last month. They didn't know why. He was a normal, healthy kid.
Yeah.
So they investigated his death with an autopsy, and it turns out that he died from a caffeine-caused cardiac event.
Oh, wow.
That was probably an abnormal heart rhythm. And apparently, his name was Davis Allen Cripe. He drank a latte, a large Diet Mountain Dew and an energy drink. I don't know what kind. And he did it within a 2-hour period. And then he collapsed in his classroom and died.
2 hours?
Yeah, that seems like a decent amount of time.
But you said
time,
he was
right?
he was more than likely susceptible. He had issues. Did he have issues?
Or was that caused by the caffeine?
No, I heard he was healthy, Steve.
Okay.
It says a caffeine caused cardiac event that was probably an abnormal heart rhythm.
I was just talking about this before this story even came out with my kids because, you know, they were like, they're asking about all sorts of stuff. And they said, is caffeine a drug? Can you be addicted to caffeine? I said, yeah. And then they said, can you die from it? I said, actually, yeah, you can. And
that is excessive, but you wouldn't think that would kill you.
Well, Kathy, we've heard of things of people like pounding the energy drinks, like 4 or 5 of them, like one monster, what is that? Five coffees?
It's not, though. There's more caffeine in a cup of coffee than there is in Monster. But
is there?
There's other things in Monster as well, like taurine and whatever. Because we've done this study before where it was like an 8 or 12 ounce cup of coffee has more caffeine.
I'm sure that we can find a table of caffeine per drink in increments. They're pretty easy to find. So what are some of the stats
you
can read
out for us? Hold on, I just found it.
As I remember, a friend of mine used to tell me, oh man, there's more caffeine in tea than there is in coffee. And I'm like, you're out of your freaking mind, dude. Yeah, right. You can pull up the basics of caffeinated substances and see what they
And then you always have to consider the source. We later found out that guy had been molested by Captain Lipton.
Oh my God.
And that's why.
He just hated tea. Yeah, yeah. He just had a thing. And that clouded his mind.
Yeah, just say, I hate you, son of a bitch. I'll get you.
What were you going to say, Kath?
Okay, so a Starbucks latte, if you get the grande, is 150 pounds. In caffeine.
All right, hang on. We have something else up here.
It's, oh, okay. You, all right. Yeah. Because this has everything you can possibly think of.
Per cup.
Okay. A cup?
Yeah, a cup. I know this is confusing. Yeah.
Well, here. So I have it. So for a latte, what did I say it was?
Decaf. Okay.
Now I got to find it again.
So here we go. This is brewed coffee.
We'll get to that in a minute.
For a cup of brewed coffee, it's 95 milligrams of caffeine. Instant coffee is 82 milligrams. This is on the way down.
All right.
Red Bull is 80 milligrams. So 95 for a cup of coffee versus 80 milligrams for Red Bull.
All right.
Black tea is 45. So that's less than half of brewed coffee. A can of Coke or soda equivalent to that is about 40 milligrams. A shot of espresso is only 27 milligrams. Wow. But that's just a shot.
Yeah.
Per cup. Okay. So these are per servings, I guess.
Per normal serving size.
Well, that says per cup, though.
Yeah, but that doesn't make sense then.
It don't.
Well, okay. So what I'm looking at is, I'm trying to determine what this kid had. He had a latte, which would be 150. The Mountain Dew is 91. And what was the energy drink, right?
Yeah, but it doesn't specify.
How big?
Well, and it doesn't specify what brand or anything along those lines. So.
Okay. So a Monster energy drink would be 160, which is more than. The coffee.
Nick, did you find it?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
But a Monster's bigger.
Yeah.
And they're scarier in the dark.
Yeah, but Casey, they're going.
That's why you have to go by cup.
Yeah, that's why you have to go by cup.
No, and that's what it is. So Monster is a little bit more.
See, like here on this that Nick has pulled up. So you have 8 ounces of Red Bull is 80 milligrams of caffeine. And then Monster, it's got 16 ounce and it says 160 milligrams. So they're the same because they're different servings.
Yes, but a 5-hour energy, which comes in a 2-ounce serving, is 200 caffeine milligrams.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. I know people who, when that was the big thing, were slamming those.
Yeah. I did that for a little while, and then I was like, you know what? This doesn't seem right.
Remember, we were at a calendar release party, and Casey had how many?
I think I had 3 Red Bulls.
3 Red Bulls, and he had 2, and he was like, maybe I want to do one more. And then after the one more, you regretted it. You were kind of like.
Totally. I was jittery and shaky the rest of the night. Yeah.
So to give you some perspective, if you go to Starbucks and you get a venti, a 20-ouncer of just their blonde roast, it's 475 milligrams. That's a lot.
So if you go to the 16 ounces, which is the grande, it's still more than a Monster.
No, it's not. It's 150.
No, it's 16 ounces.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking about the latte. Sorry.
All right. So their light roast is 300 grams for 16 ounces.
How many grams of caffeine? Because for people who do a quart of coffee in the morning,
I don't know how many
they don't
grams.
Have it in quarts.
No, no.
I had to stop my coffee consumption for the morning at 2 cups. And I don't know. Like,
I backed off.
Coffee now, though, is now medicinally back on the thumbs up.
It makes me feel crappy, though, if I have more than one cup.
Crappy in that you crap a lot?
No. Like, I just, like, it feels like almost like I'm not, I don't know, just not healthy.
No, but it does get stuff moving, though.
A bran muffin and a black coffee.
Yeah.
It's like a Deepwater Horizon.
Do you want to talk to the doctor?
Yeah.
You knew he'd call in. Talking about caffeine, and actually this kid, they're saying, died from that. So from Penn Medicine and Fox 29, Dr. Mike Sirigliano is on the line.
Hello.
So I barely even got the sentence out of my mouth and the hotline lit up.
Well, I'm on my way back from Fox, and I just did this story.
Okay.
All right.
So the thing is, he's 16, this poor kid, and some estimates are that he had about 600 milligrams of caffeine all at once. Now, I'm a big supporter of coffee and caffeine. In fact, Juan Valdez should get a Nobel Prize.
We love that guy and his burrow.
The problem is, if you consume too much, it can be very dangerous. Now, this is a 16-year-old, and in my humble opinion, no one of that age group or younger should be consuming caffeine. I know they do it, but they shouldn't. And he probably had, because the story suggested he had a normal heart, so he had a rhythm problem, which can happen. It's rare, but it happens. And so the thing is, he ended up dying from something. It's just tragic.
All right. So to the point about coffee now being all thumbs up and considered a good choice, how much should the average adult coffee-wise consume per day?
No more than 400 milligrams per day. That's what most experts say.
All right. Which constitutes, on average, how many fluid ounces?
Two or three. Well, I don't know how many ounces. See, here's the thing. Preston, you said about tea. It depends how you steep it.
Yeah.
You can make tea very high in caffeine content if you steep it for a prolonged period of time. So I'd rather say, on average, a couple of cups of coffee a day.
Okay.
Now, for those who are listening, if you want to stay up all day because you're tired like I am chronically, you want small sips throughout the day. And if you're in my office, you'll see I have a cup of coffee and water next to the printer, all right, or the coffee machine. And what I do is I'll have a little sip every other patient, and it keeps me awake and ready to go throughout the day. And I only have 3 cups, perhaps.
So Mike, real quick. Yeah. So 400 milligrams of caffeine is about what you get on average for a grande or a venti of 1 cup of Starbucks coffee.
Well, I believe in small amounts over a long period of time.
Okay.
I prefer not a large amount. That's why if you're on the Schuylkill and you have a grande and you cut somebody off, they'll shoot you dead.
Yeah.
Right? Because they had a cigarette, they had a donut, and they had a cup of coffee, and they're schizophrenic.
Yeah, they're tripping. No, that makes sense. So I'm a big proponent of nursing the coffee as well. Sips here and there.
Yeah, I have it throughout our show. See, I don't. I have it throughout the show, and I end up not finishing my coffee.
There you go. And when I steep tea, I steep it quickly, so I just get the essence of the tea and not much more.
Yeah, see, for me with coffee, it comes down to temperature, right? And there is a sweet spot for me, right? And once it's if it's too hot, I can't touch it. If it's too cold, it's like, what's the point?
You need to get this Yeti, Casey.
I have the Yeti. And
do you use it?
My wife has
taken it over.
He has a knockoff.
I have a Yeti, though, but when I put hot coffee in there, it's too hot. It stays too hot for too long.
But see, that's how I like it. So I love this. But you can get it at the temperature you like, Casey, and then put it in a Yeti, and it will stay that way.
I like my McDonald's travel mug.
You can use that, too. Yeah.
Hey, Mike, when it comes to these caffeine drinks, the Monster Energies and things like that, is part of the problem could part of the problem be added sugars?
Well, sugars, like Casey said, taurine, you know, there's a couple of things in them. It gets a little dicey when you add alcohol. And then the alcohol combined with the caffeine really can increase your risk of something called atrial fibrillation, which can be life-threatening in some people. But so, look, Everything in moderation. Yeah. Everything in moderation. That's what it comes down to. And I want to say this. Coffee and caffeine will reduce your risk of Alzheimer's, type 2 diabetes, and it really, if you're not a coffee virgin, will not have negative effects on your blood pressure. And that's been well studied.
All right. All right. So, and then you're obviously clearly not a fan of the big Monster and Red Bulls and the massive
4 hour and 5 hour jolts. Energy.
No, I like coffee because there's all kinds of antioxidants and polyphenols in coffee. The coffee bean, as far as I'm concerned, is a beautiful natural product. It has all kinds of wonderful health benefits to it. You only bastardize it when you put heavy cream and tons of sugar in it, and then it turns into a unhealthy swill.
A concoction of death. All right, all right. I love it, and that's. It's good news for coffee drinkers, people who enjoy coffee.
Yeah. All right.
You better believe it.
Thank you, Dr. Mike.
Love you. All right. Dr. Mike.
He's a pretty amazing guy. But he's right. And he's got a lovely little Keurig machine right there in his office.
He does.
So he's definitely a proponent of coffee. Casey, I am like you. And Kathy, you're like my wife because we'll sit down, have coffee together. You know, we'll go somewhere and sit down and enjoy a cup of coffee, and it will take her a half hour to drink it, and I will slam it. I will just say, it tastes good. Yeah, because I don't just get, you know, here at work, I'll drink black coffee. I try to stay away from sugar and stuff like that at certain times of the day. Other days, I kind of reward myself a little bit.
It's your treat.
So when I'm going to have, like, some, you know, French vanilla creamer in there or something like that, it cools it off. It gets it to that temperature. It tastes sweet. And it tastes so good, and I just go ahead and now I don't gulp it. I'm not like, you know, chugging it.
Yeah,
like it's a
boiling
beer
and hot chug.
I'm in a frat or something like that.
Right,
but I will. It would only
it's
take me
quick.
It'll only take me a few minutes to drink it.
I can work.
I probably shouldn't do that.
I can work like my full coffee that I get in the morning throughout the entire show. And when it starts to turn cold, that's fine too.
Yeah,
I'm totally fine with cold coffee.
I have some cold coffee right here right now, and it's
I can't do coffee. This Yeti is like a game changer for me. Thank you, Subaru. It's a Subaru Yeti.
And thank God that they took that expedition into the mountains to... Now, mind you, it was at the expense of an entire species of creatures. But when you hollow them out and pour coffee into them,
they really
are tremendous.
Yes, the tremendous. Yeti.
Kath, when we were at Subaru back in April for our live broadcast, they brought a big box of Yeti mugs out for, I don't know who, I was assuming us. But
did you get one?
Nobody did. Because the whole sales staff and Jackie Bam Bam took four. I was like, dude.
They're the greatest.
I know.
Well, I have a brand called Yeti Lee, which is a tribute to
to Rush. By the way, the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends that adolescents aged 12 to 18 shouldn't have more than 100 milligrams of caffeine per day.
You see 100 cups of coffee a day?
No, not 100 cups of coffee per day in your Yeti Lee.
It's the new mug that keeps your coffee piping hot with that rock and roll sound you cannot deny. It's the Getty.
I never started drinking coffee until I started working with you guys in the morning.
Seriously?
So now I never drank coffee because I worked nights. So I guess I didn't need it.
I had it occasionally.
And on the center stage, Kathy.
No, that was not where I was working nights.
Sorry.
I occasionally drank it in college, but once I started on the morning show, and I don't even think I really drank caffeinated products much in high school. You know, it just it never appealed to me.
You guys ruined me.
No, Jolt would just. I mean. Even today, like, you know, a 5 hour energy drink or a Red Bull or whatever, they send me over the edge.
Caffeine has no, it doesn't keep me awake. I could drink it right before bed and it'd be no issue.
Yeah, that's weird. Dude. Yeah. You've always been that way. So then why drink it? Because you like the taste of it?
I do like the taste of it, yeah. Okay. And it's just comforting. I sit there and I read my stories. Harlequin Romance 118. I bet you the pirate returns.
And I'm complete opposite of you, Steve. I have to put a limit on when if I were to get another cup, you know, in the middle of the day or even on the weekend.
What's that time?
My time, it's about 2:30, 3 o'clock.
Yeah. 3 o'clock. That's about when I'll definitely, if I'm going to have one late in the day, if it's past that, I'm like, all right, I missed the window.
Like, I don't understand the people who get coffee after dinner. I mean, I guess it's because it's enjoyable, because but it's I can't do that. Coffee. I can't, I won't be able to go to sleep.
Like if it's on a weekend or something like that, I'll do like a double espresso after dinner.
My litmus test when I go to a restaurant that I have not been to before is I will order coffee first.
And yeah, you always do that.
I will see. Does it taste like they haven't cleaned the pot? Is there an attention to the quality of the coffee? And that indicates to me what kind of attention they're going to give to the meal.
Some restaurants will just do straight up decaf in both pots, you know?
Yes.
So when you see two pots on, you know, one on top and one on bottom, and the decaf one has the orange lid to it. Sometimes some restaurants will just put decaf in both.
Have you ever overdone it on coffee? I have a couple of times. Where I'm like, oh God!
Where you're jittery, right?
Yeah. You don't feel good. Mm-hmm. I mean, like you feel not just jittery, just like, oh man, I feel this is not good. I've only done it a couple of times.
I was doing it every day at work for a while, and that's when I was like, okay, 3 cups is too many.
We have you a recording of you.
My son drinks coffee, Carter.
You see a lot of kids. Mm-hmm. I see when I go into, Starbucks or whatever, any of those places, I see a lot of kids. Yeah. I see kids coming out of McDonald's.
He's 14 and he's been drinking coffee for a couple of years easily.
I didn't start drinking coffee till I was college.
You know, and you know what? This is
Starbucks when you were younger. And
that's true. The thing, like, but also Starbucks has you know, non-caffeinated drinks that
novelty,
you can get the drinks. And this is probably a whole other topic, but my friend's son had, I think it was ADD or ADHD, I forget which one, but they actually used caffeine and they would give him coffee in the morning to kind of reverse the effects of that.
That's why we did it.
Oh, really?
Same thing, yep.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep, exactly. Supposed to help out with that.
Yeah.
So, and then he found out he liked the taste of it, so... Yeah, but of course he sweetens it up like crazy. Makes it taste like
dessert. I've switched to brown sugar. Natural sugar.
Yeah,
and then I'm trying to develop a taste for this Estiva. Is that what they call it?
Yeah,
Stevia.
I don't like it either.
Yeah,
I have forced myself to drink black coffee. I personally don't really like the taste of it.
Yeah,
but I do want to get a little bit of pick-me-up,
mm-hmm.
So that's why I drink the black coffee here at work, and it's to avoid sugar.
We're like crackheads for coffee.
Yeah.
Well, it's true. Going back to the original conversation, is coffee a drug or is caffeine a drug? Yeah.
Here, I think we got somebody on board here. John wants to jump in. Hey, John, how you doing?
Hi, guys. John Wright. I was one of the coolest teachers of the year, and I used to be normal, and then you guys sent me a coffee mug, and now I start using it, and I'm hooked on coffee.
There you go. We got you drugged up.
You ruined me just like Kathy.
Yeah.
See what they do?
It's what we do.
Oh, my God.
John.
What year was that, John?
I think 2 years ago, maybe three. I still have the mug, though.
Okay.
What school?
Counselor Rocks Out.
Ah.
Okay.
All right. Congratulations
again. Yeah, we're doing it again, John. We just started that up yesterday, so.
All right. Well, I'll keep drinking out of it.
All right. Good man.
I'll tell you what.
Thanks for checking in, buddy.
It's a great mug.
It is a great mug.
It's so much coffee in there.
It's got
I need a large mug.
Yeah.
I don't do the little mug like this. I have a small mug here at home. Anything that's larger is what I go for. And I do 14 ounces because the Keurig has a couple of different sizes.
Settings, yeah.
So I run it through the 10 is the largest one that we have. So I run it through on 10 and I open it back up and close it again. And then I go through.
And yeah, you don't put a new.
No, you can run it through twice.
Oh.
Yeah, and then I do 4 ounces.
Isn't it watery then?
No, at that point,
not near. There's enough because you figure. I used to have one where you could make 16 ounces straight out our old Keurig machine. So then why can't it make 14 ounces? You know what I mean?
It's the same size.
Yeah, exactly.
Keurig cup. Yeah,
you're living a lie.
Yeah, we've actually moved on from the Keurig. We do not use it anymore. We have a different machine.
The
Schnappenheimer 2000.
Did you get the Nespresso?
No. We got it's a Mr. Coffee.
I have my Mr. Coffee. I can make anything on my Mr. Coffee Super Duper. Espressos and cappuccinos.
Well, what is yours?
And frothies.
It's that.
Yeah.
But it's not as elaborate as yours. But you can set it to a full carafe, a half carafe, a travel mug, or just a cup of coffee.
Oh, that's cool.
So, but is it ground?
For divorce?
Fresh. That's grounds for divorce.
So
we used to have a Cuisinart where you would actually just put the beans in there and hit the button. And it would grind it up and you'd have fresh ground coffee.
Man, I love eating coffee beans in the morning.
But we would fill up a whole, you know, carafe and we'd drink a quarter of it.
Anybody going to finish this gallon of coffee? Yeah, because it's too much.
But that's why, you know, you can make a half a carafe or just
a giraffe.
You know, a giraffe or a cup or whatever. And
it's like a 3D printer.
Have you seen the doodad that Pierre has in his kitchen? It's impressive. He's got, I don't know what kind of machine it is, but it's built into the wall.
Oh, my God. And is it like a coffee house coffee maker?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah,
does he know how to use it?
It's his drug of choice. Yes, he does know how to use it, and he uses it daily, and he cleans it. But Pierre is a coffee snob, and he'll be the first to admit it. He loves his coffee the way that he loves it, but he has this machine in his kitchen that is second to none.
But you know what's so funny is he comes into work every morning, and he is not drinking coffee made from there.
No.
He has stopped for it somewhere,
but he'll drink it at home. I mean, Pierre drinks coffee a lot, and he drinks it no matter the hour of the day.
I wonder how much he drinks because
it's a ton.
He'll go through a number of cups each day.
Is he awake yet? Do you think
he gets up right around now?
He never goes to sleep.
One of his seven alarms is probably going off currently.
I wonder if we could ask him to make us a cup of coffee in this bad mamma jamma.
That's a good idea.
Bring it here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I want to.
I'll text him.
All right. But anyhow, this kid, that was horrible, and maybe he had something that lent it, you know, to him physically that would
just a tragedy
cause that to happen. I was looking, having Casey look for.
We don't have it.
We don't have that.
What?
No.
Man, I think possibly one of the funniest movie lines in history involves coffee, from the movie Airplane, with a little girl sitting there, and the guy walks by. I say, I was bringing some coffee by. I thought you might want some. She says, I take it black. Like my men. It could be one of the funniest.
She's nine.
8 or 9 years old. It is one of the funniest movie lines ever uttered. All right. Anyhow.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.